Guess what day it is.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
Stand by, people.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
We had a little technical snafu. You don't want either. You don't want the snag. You don't want the foo. It's working now. We're going to start with the top six at six as soon as I wake up. I don't know why. There has never been more fireworks in 25 years in my neighborhood than this year.
Completely. I agree.
I think it was everywhere.
And I think if you live within, but let's be fair, 10 miles of me, you shouldn't be able to set them off after 5 o'clock at night.
I think one of my neighbors bought out a Crazy Caplan's.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yes.
Let's do the top six at six. Ready? Set. Go. Go. No. Go. No. Go. No. No. Ready, set. No.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60 Minute Man.
President's about to get on a plane and go to Poland. He's got big problems all over the world this morning as Kim Jong-un has taken it to the next level. A development we didn't expect to see for years. Apparently, North Korea now has an intercontinental ballistic missile, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's a missile that can be shot intercontinentally. It can travel that far. It landed in the restricted sea off the coast of Japan. Scientists who have looked at this, engineers who have looked at this, military experts who have looked at this, all now seem to be in the same realm of belief that this is an ICBM. This is not good on any level. We'll talk to weapons experts about it this morning. So far, the reaction from the United States was to launch a joint exercise with South Korea to show, yeah, we can hit you back if we want to. That was described by a couple of retired generals as weak in response.
Yeah, at least they phrased it, though, as though it's a gift to America.
That was Kim Jong-un's smart-ass response,
right,
that he was sending us a present. European Union and Japan appear ready to announce a broad agreement that could create a free trade zone to rival NAFTA. This, again, is something that could affect the American auto industry. We'll get into that with business a little bit later on. Closer to home, and the one that should matter most to all of us, the Illinois Senate veto override, the Governor Rauner veto of the income tax hike from 3.75% to 4.95%. And to give you the real numbers of this, the average Illinois family of four makes about $60,000 a year, the
right.
Average. Mm-hmm. $60,000 a year will now be taxed at a level that's $3,000 higher than it was the year before.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. The highest tax increase in Illinois history.
Right, and because of that, and because it's a permanent tax hike, that's money you're not going to see again. And maybe you need a new furnace. Maybe you need a new refrigerator. Maybe you need
to eat.
Maybe the kids, you were going to go on a vacation. All of those things can go out the window because if you're a family of four, or family of two, You're probably a little tight on cash.
If there was any question at all where anybody fell on either side of this as far as raising taxes, now it's solidified.
Mm-hmm.
Rauner vetoes it. Madigan overrides.
This is Madigan's tax hike.
Yep.
Yeah, it's absolutely Madigan's tax hike.
Absolutely. There was a great political cartoon yesterday in the Tribune, and it's the Grim Reaper, but it's Mike Madigan, and he's standing on top of all the Illinois taxpayers and residents,
right?
And it says, "I win again."
Yeah. Well, I got to talk to him about his definition of win. Pat Brady will join us next hour. He's been spending an awful lot of time in Springfield, and he can talk about that. More of the travesty of violence in the toughest neighborhoods in Chicago. Violence left about 60 shot, 8 dead over the 4th of July weekend. Now, is that 5 days?
That's over. Yeah, that is the entire holiday weekend. So it's a longer period of time.
Friday
but it's
through
still,
Tuesday?
Yeah, six killed, 31 injured.
Six killed? I got 8 dead.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, over the 4th of July weekend in parts of the south and west sides that have been plagued by gang and gun violence. This is why that gun law we talked about with the head of the Chicago Police Department,
Eddie Johnson,
Eddie Johnson, last week, is a big deal. so we can take these people who have gun crimes, get them off the street, and keep them off the street. And then there's this. The annual Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest was won by Joey Chestnut, his 10th men's title. He ate 72 hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes. Okay, listen, that's 7.2 hot dogs and buns per minute. That's a hot dog and bun about every 8 seconds. Okay.
Maybe we could do a station promotion with him, like 72 hot dogs in 10 minutes. Maybe he can do 720 in an hour.
I don't want to see him eat.
I'm lucky to eat one hot dog a year.
Yeah, I don't eat hot dogs either.
Do you watch that? I cannot watch.
It's so gross.
I just watched the video at the end.
And then they soak the bun? That's disgusting.
And it's all coming out of his mouth.
So you can smush it.
Well, yeah, so it goes down easier, yeah.
This can't be good for you.
Oh, no, he'll be dead in a week.
He does every year, though.
Meanwhile, Miki Sudo had 41 dogs to win her fourth consecutive title on the women's side. And let me just say this on behalf of, this is not a misogynist, sexist statement. Mm-hmm. Nothing sexier than a woman that can eat 41 hot dogs in 10 minutes.
With soaked bread.
Yeah.
So nasty.
And then, Dave, one for you.
Yes.
Five companies are among the world's largest alcoholic beverage manufacturers.
Okay.
AB, InBev, that's Anheuser-Busch, and that crazy European company they merged with. Heineken, Diageo, is it Pernod Ricard? I believe that's right. And Carlsberg have so far pledged $67.7 million to a foundation that raises money for the National Institutes of Health, because there's nothing healthier than getting smashed over the 4th of July weekend, as long as you're doing it in your yard. Okay. And you don't fall into the fire pit of their grill.
Why are they doing this?
I'm glad you asked, Dave. They're raising money. They're starting a $100 million clinical trial to test for the first time whether a drink a day really does prevent heart attacks. And you think about this, there's no downside to this.
No.
Because if they find out it does prevent heart attacks, drink up.
Right.
And if they find out it doesn't prevent heart attacks, they're the good guys who did the test.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
I'll tell you what, these are the sober people. The ones selling it, they're the sober ones.
Would it have the effect of, if you have more than one drink a day, that it would last longer?
you would be protected from heart attacks
that much.
That's interesting. We're gonna have to get a hold of the Lushes at these companies. Nothing, the chief Lush.
Nothing scientific about that.
Maybe you can help with the study. You can be a tester.
Steve just used the word Lush.
Yeah, the chief Lush.
Yeah, chief Lush.
CLO. Chief Lush.
Or head Lush.
Operator.
I don't think so.
The CLL.
Top 6 to 6 brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Man. You want a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Man. You need to be the 6th caller right now at 312-981-7200. That phone is probably sponsored by American Weathermakers, the 60-Minute Man. So go ahead and call in if you'd like that, and we'll come back in just a second and talk more about this Illinois budget situation.
Debacle.
And the North Korean situation. The G20 summit is where the president's headed this morning. Look, there's no secret how I feel about the president, but I believe everybody needs to hope for the best and get behind him this week to say the right thing, not the wrong thing, to do the right thing, not the wrong thing, and to represent America well. So I'm asking all of you who have great dislike for the president and the fact that he's president, to set it aside for a few days. By the way, it doesn't mean I'm withholding the right to criticize, because that's part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
If he does something stupid, it's going to have to be talked about. But I certainly hope he surprises me, frankly, in the way he surprised me at that first joint session of Congress speech that he made, and the way he surprised me with his military response to the first Syrian chemical attack.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's two.
Well, he's going to give a speech in Warsaw, Poland, just ahead of the G20, so that'll be somewhat interesting, too.
Here's what you don't want to hear.
Kind of a joint session in Poland.
Their
joint session.
The Europeans don't like him, and the NATO summit did not go well.
Mm-hmm.
Which you don't need to hear right now with Kim Jong-un playing the games that he's playing. You don't need to hear him talk about they're not doing their fair share. They owe money to NATO.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you've made that point.
Right.
Let it go. You want to talk about that behind closed doors? Talk about it behind closed doors. The other piece of this, which we do need to hear for the sake of a better... And by the way, the president could help himself greatly in this area. If the president confronts Vladimir Putin in this Friday meeting that's scheduled and directly says to him, we know you hacked the election. Mm-hmm. You will never do it again. We're the United States. You're Russia. We've made you and your country bigger than you are. And you know what we can do. And we will. And worse. So you're asking for it, pal.
Yeah. Exactly right.
Not the Obama response of, hey, knock it off, mm-hmm. said by the president himself. And listen, there's a million arguments you could make on why Obama didn't step up last fall to do this. But he's not president. Donald Trump is president. Donald Trump has to stand up to Vladimir Putin. And there's been some rumors this weekend that he was going to ask Putin if he did it. No. You don't ask. Vladimir Putin's going to ask. Vladimir Putin's going to ask for his Washington spy compounds to be given back to Russia.
Right.
Remember Obama kicked those guys out?
Right, the 27 people, yes.
Yeah, two big pieces of real estate, and Putin wants them back. So he's going to ask for that, which will open the door to this discussion. This doesn't have to be, like, a lot of you probably had awkward family discussions over the 4th. You know, something had to be discussed because everybody was together.
Yeah.
Nobody looks forward to it. A lot of people were dreading him, but you did it. You got through it. He's got to do it.
Oh, I agree.
He has to do it.
And you're right, though. He has to tell him if there's any sort of quid pro quo, if they let the agents back in, the United States needs something in return. But he needs to be tough on this and not say, oh, did you hack the election? No, he needs to go in and lay out the groundwork
presidency. Do not back down on the sanctions on Russians and the Russian money and the banks, the finances. You don't back down on any of it because Putin has done nothing about coming out of Ukraine. He's done nothing that he said he would do to be the good guy that he claims he is. Mm-hmm. He is not to be trusted.
When you align yourself with Bashar Assad, too, come on. Yeah. There's that alone should be no room for affiliation.
What are the chances that this is even going to come up? Because everything I've heard from people saying what the agenda might include, this is nowhere on any of the lists.
Yeah, there are no rules for that.
Yeah, no,
as you know,
up.
There's no rules for that. You can break from the agenda. First off, it should be on the agenda. It should be agenda item number one or
right,
two.
Right.
It should be number two, you suck, you thieving little Ruski. But probably not in those direct words. Now, you take this and you extend Russia and China to the statement they made now about North Korea. And the statement they made, a joint statement about North Korea, was, we want Kim Jong-un to stand down from his bombs making, mm-hmm. his explosive mm-hmm. attacks, yeah. Boris and Natasha. But we also want the United States and South Korea to stop conducting military exercises and the THAAD missile defense system removed from the peninsula. Okay, first off, that ain't happening. Mm-hmm. The THAAD missile defense system in South Korea is what we would use and the South Koreans would use to try to shoot a missile down before it hit. So that's staying. They know that. But the fact that Russia and China jumped the president on making a statement, but the president's not made a statement about this other than a tweet.
I'm surprised about that too. Yeah,
made a statement about it. The Defense Department hasn't made a statement. The State Department's the only one that said anything about this.
Yeah.
So the Russians and the Chinese have already teed this up. Agenda item number one: stay out of our election. Agenda item number two: no, you're not getting your buildings back or your real estate. Agenda item number three. No, you get no break on the restrictions we've put on you and your banks and your money. And agenda item number four, none of these in any particular order. Take your joint statement with China and smoke it. We're not doing anything with that either.
And we want our records back.
Right.
Also, too. No, go ahead.
No. It makes a good point. It's like the breakup when you're coming over to my house to get your clothes back. Yeah. You were going to say also.
I'd watch the meeting too with Angela Merkel too. She's up for re-election. She's running for her first term as chancellor. I don't think she's going to win either. But she had some pretty harsh words for Trump over the weekend too, calling mm-hmm. him isolationist and saying that he's. You know, she said she will meet with him as well ahead of G20.
Angela Merkel and Theresa May. But I do think she'll probably win. I shouldn't say that. I do think she'll probably win.
I don't know.
Angela Merkel and Theresa May have basically said they're moving on without the United States.
Right.
United States wants to be an isolationist. We can't be. Mm-hmm. We're moving on without you. So there's a lot for Trump to do, a lot of opportunities to do it well this week. You have to hope that he will.
Here's another question. What if we have to do something against North Korea? Are we going to get any of these other countries who are angry with us now to help us? In this regard,
all in their own self-interest to stop. And frankly, it's in Russia and China's self-interest to make sure that North Korea doesn't lose it, and that Kim Jong-un doesn't send out a nuke. You know, the other the biggest problem you have here is not a nuke on top of an ICBM. It's a mistake. It's a missile that goes goofy, and then Japan has to react. And then suddenly, you know, World War I started over an assassination of somebody that nobody can name. You know, one of the great wars and the most painful wars and the terrible wars of all time. And that was over a small-time assassination, small-time political assassination. It doesn't take much to start a big problem and a missile gone astray. Or the assumption, you know what this is? It's the old Matthew Broderick movie. It's war games.
War games, sure. Yeah. Global thermal nuclear war.
Yeah, but you look at a screen and you see a missile coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, okay, we got 37 minutes. That's the total time they have to react. In 37 minutes, a lot of people have to be consulted and a lot of decisions have to be made.
That is true.
And if you shoot back, now what? So it's a big deal. Later on in the program, Michael O'Hanlon, just after 7 o'clock from the Brookings Institute, who knows more about weapons and guns than we do, will talk about this and see if it's as big a deal to him. We'll get to the Illinois piece of this in a little bit and the extra money you're going to have to pay. And Pat Brady will fill us in on that after 7. But right now, let's take a break. Come back. Get your big story next on 720 WGN.
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Well, bonus time with Dr. Kevin Most.
I've got a stomach pain that's low, fungus on my toe, and I need you now.
By the way, I spoke with John DeCoste. I shouldn't say that. I texted him. You know, the kids, we all text. He's in Ohio doing stand-up all week, but he hopes everybody had a swell 4th of July.
That was very nice. We hope he did, too. Yes.
We talked about how many fireworks were lit this weekend and how they were all right around my head.
Mm-hmm.
They were really loud.
Yep.
Really, really, really loud. I don't know if that's like an economic indicator. Dr. Most joins us now from Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. I don't know if that's an economic indicator, Doc, but there were more fireworks in my neighborhood than there's ever been.
Yeah, it really was. It was loud the last couple nights, not just one. And, you know, a lot of neighborhood kids doing it, so always challenging at times. And I'm sure you saw in the news, you know, one individual died and another blew his hand off here in Chicago alone. So very
it happens
important.
Every year. Yep. Every year. Yep. You know, and what do you say other than how? Why?
Yeah,
it's not going to grow it back. I don't know. And there was a guy, not in Illinois, but I'll see if I can find the story because Amy Cochran, assistant head writer for the program, sent it to me that a guy was trying to get rid of a hornet's nest in his garage, and he tried to use M80s, and he set his garage on fire and burned his garage down.
That's tough to explain the insurance company.
Do you have the stupid rider? I don't know. Did you pay for the stupid rider on your insurance policy? All right, I want to start with something here, Doc. And thank you for the bonus time. I want to start with something here that Dave Ennett has suffered from, and that's vertigo. Dave, when did you have your last bout with it?
Oh, I had it probably, I want to say, 10 years ago, maybe.
But it was significant.
Yeah. And it came on very suddenly, and I think I know why I got it.
And, Doc, the vertigo by definition is what?
You know, a sense of dizziness, a sense of that your balance system is off. So it's this feeling of uneasiness and unsure of your body position. So it's you're dizzy, essentially.
Right. And because of my incredible, experience with yoga, I have great balance. As you know, I can bend myself in all sorts of shapes.
Double dog down.
And, I can do a triple dog down. And no one's ever seen it before, but trust me, it's really quite something. But our feet are crucial to our balance, right?
Yeah, they are. You know, and if you haven't had vertigo in the past, you never want it. I'm sure Dave can tell you. It is one of the worst feelings. You can be nauseated, but you just feel terrible. And the body is just unbelievably amazing. And I know, you know, you always think I'm a geek when I talk about things, but...
Not always.
The way that the body can work and keep our balance and keep our positioning is just amazing.
It is amazing. It truly is. And the body tries to center itself no matter if you think you're clumsy or not.
Right. And you say, well, how does that do? How does it work? And we have built-in redundancies within the body, which is great because you need them. So we have receptors on the soles of our feet. We have our vision. And then we have something called the semicircular canals in the inner ear. And when all three of those are working together, it's great. As long as two of them are working in concert, it's great. That allows us to walk in the dark. The body is, the brain is being told by the receptors on the soles of their feet where your body position is.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. But, yeah, why would we be able to walk in the dark? That's amazing, too, isn't it?
Yeah. And you know what? And when you start to fall, how many times have you done the stumble where you hit a curb and you missed it and you don't hit the ground? You know, your feet is telling your body one thing, your ear is telling it something else, and your vision is telling it something else, and the body reacts to change the body position, to change the muscle structure, to bring you back to balance.
Anytime I stumble, I just start jogging and pretend I meant to do that.
Correct.
It's another human response. Yeah. All right, so the inner ear seems to be the most important piece of this, or not so?
Well, that's the one that's going to really impact it much, right? Because people that have people with problems with their feet, it's usually going to be more of an ongoing chronic issue. People who have diabetes and have something called diabetic neuropathy of their feet, where they lose the sensation in their feet, impacts their balance. But that's chronically over time. And as Dave just said, how quick and how sudden it came on. When that occurs, it is usually, it's almost always in the inner ear portion of it that's causing that problem.
And what did you find was yours, Dave?
Well, I believe that's what it was, and the way it came on was I was lying on the floor watching television, and I, for whatever reason, the
was
phone rang.
Drinking in the story?
No, there was no drinking involved. You had to go there. And I jumped to my feet, and as soon as I jumped up, I mean, I literally went from lying down to jumping. I don't know why.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I was like, whoa. And my wife was in the room. She said, you better sit down. And I did, and I just kind of lay there, and it just didn't really get better. And
you dealt with this, if I remember right, for 2 or 3 weeks, didn't you, off and on?
Yeah, something like that. I was on medication, and it helped bring it back under control.
But isn't there a crystals system that gets knocked loose?
That's what they told me. That's what they told me.
What is that about, Doc?
That's exactly what it is. So we have essentially these tiny little things in our ears called semicircular canals. And inside those semicircular canals are very fine hairs and fluid. So when your body changes any position at all, even minimal, that fluid and the hairs are sending messages to the brain. Right next to that, unfortunately, we have some crystals. And the crystals actually help as well when they stay in place. But like for Dave and for many others, what happens is one of these crystals gets dislodged. So now instead of fluid pushing up against these hairs, as we move slowly and subtly, now you have essentially crystals or rocks pushing up against this. And it is sending a message to the brain that makes no sense whatsoever. So it is sending a message saying one thing. Your receptors on the soles of your feet are saying something else. Your eyes are saying something else. And the body says, hold on, time out. I don't know what's going on. And you get the sensation of being dizzy.
So these crystals are normally housed where? And make this simple. I'm simple.
Yeah. So think of the semicircular canals as a bunch of tubes that are in a bunch of different positions. Think of it as modern art.
Okay.
The crystals are right outside of those. And unfortunately, they can break off after a quick, sudden movement. Often people are sitting down watching TV and they jump up. They're laying in bed and they jump up. One of those crystals can be freed and then flow into those semicircular canals.
So when they break off, they have to be dissolved to get rid of them? Or how did Dave get better, I guess is my question.
Yeah. So what often happens is they work their way back out. There's a thing called the Epley maneuver. And I don't know if Dave, if your doctor did it, where he lays you down on an exam table and extends your neck and turns your head in a bunch of different positions. What he's trying to do is get that crystal to move back out of those canals.
Not without taking you to dinner first.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Yep.
Right.
So, and some people will try the medications, like Dave, you were probably on something called Antivert, which is a strong antihistamine. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, because it's that crystal that we need to get out of there to make sure that we have balance again.
Do people get this chronically?
People can. Some people can get it multiple times, which is very frustrating because there's nothing we can do to prevent it. So we can't say, oh, let's go in and do surgery and remove these crystals. the area that you're talking about is so finely tuned that manipulating it at all is not a great idea, so we don't touch it. But people can get it more often than others. Some people think there's some hereditary component as well.
There's a swimmer's ear thing, and this is summer, obviously, yep. where you get water in your ear.
Yep.
And one of the main reasons or ways I remember people getting taught to get rid of water in your ear was a leg snap or like a neck and head snap. It seems like that would be really bad based on this discussion.
Right, right. So let's talk about that just for a second, too, because people will get swimmer's ear at this time of the year. And you have to remember that you have your ear canal, and then you have an eardrum, and that eardrum protects everything from the outside getting to the inside where the balance system is. So what you're talking about is trying to get fluid back either out from the outer ear, which is okay. It's not a bad thing to do. Be careful. People always want to put Q-tips in their ears because of this, and you don't want to do that. But if you start to have pain and discomfort, then often you're going to need antibiotic drops for the swimmer's ear.
I want to ask you about a more serious piece of this story, and that is the fact that strokes can cause this and could confuse the symptoms of it, and obviously you don't want to mess around with that. So we'll get more with that from Doc in just a second, talking about vertigo. Dave, you okay right now?
I'm okay, but
stand up really quick.
I was told that my hopes of becoming the fifth Walenda. Gone.
Oh, that's a shame. Dave Walenda.
Although the wife now hangs from her teeth, so you might be able to do
Dave's
that.
Wife?
No, not Dave. No.
Oh, good.
Nick Walenda's wife.
Oh, yeah. I was confused too.
Yeah. So you'll say Karen had.
Well, Karen could.
Karen joined the circus.
She's very talented.
Dr. Kevin Most. Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. You know, Doc, what do you think about the fireworks that kept us all up for the past several days?
Yeah.
It's funny that it's okay, right? I mean, would you even consider going outside and telling them to knock it off? No, you go, celebrating. But if I went outside and did this, over and over again, say between 10 and midnight, you'd probably call the police.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I'm a little tired this morning. By the way, the Epley maneuver that Doc mentioned, it's easy to Google it, and there's videos and stuff there if you can take a look at it. It may be something you could do as a matter of self-treatment, maybe. True or not
yep.
true?
Yep, very true. Okay. But make sure you have the right diagnosis before you go and do that.
Don't Epley yourself unless it's the right thing to do.
Sure.
All right, so the stroke piece of this story, when it comes to vertigo, if you're just turning on the radio, we're talking about vertigo, and obviously you don't want this to be masking symptoms of a stroke. You want to get to the bottom of it, right?
Yeah, and you know, it can be strokes, it can be brain tumors, it can be a bunch of different things. So one is probably, if you get the sensation, at least get checked out. You know, physicians can tell you pretty quickly. But then other things that to be concerned, if you hit your head and you get this, don't say, oh, this is, you know, benign, I know exactly what to do. No, make sure you get in, because even subtle bleeds can cause this in the brain. But we get concerned if there's a blurred vision. You shouldn't have blurred vision with this. You shouldn't have any chest pain. You shouldn't have any weakness. Slurred speech should not occur. So all the symptoms that we talk about with strokes, you shouldn't have this with benign positional vertigo. And hearing loss is another one. If you have sudden hearing loss, that is not a portion of this. This has nothing to do with the hearing system. It's all with the balance system. So those are probably the big things. Is if it's just the dizziness, and you find that what happens with this too is when you move rapidly, it'll really get bad. But then as you sit quietly and look straight ahead, it'll go away because the crystals move or have stopped moving. Simple to do and often won't happen with the other things, but still worth getting checked.
Can you get a little bit of this? In other words, if you're nauseous for 3 or 4 days in a row and there's no real reason for it and it's not debilitating, can you get a little bit of it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There's big spectrums of this to people who feel just a little bit uncomfortable or a little bit off versus people who can't even get up out of bed, can't even move
right.
because of it. So there's a big spectrum as far as how long it lasts. Some people it can last for 15, 20 minutes. Other people it can last for weeks.
Is it different, Doc, than a ringing in your ear?
Absolutely different than ringing in your ear. Ringing in your ear, tinnitus is an aggravating condition where the nerve that supplies the brain with information about hearing is kind of inflamed, where this is totally about the balance system. So you can have ringing in your ear and you can do any movement whatsoever, where this would change all of that.
Good stuff as always. We'll post the notes. And Dr. Kevin Most on a Wednesday, we appreciate the extra time. Thanks. And by the way, your balance is terrific, Doc. I remember I met Doc while he was with the Joffrey. Should see some of the moves he can make. Connect with you later.
You got it. Talk to you soon.
Thanks. Michael O'Hanlon will discuss how serious this North Korean ICBM threat is. Coming up, minute before 7, news next, 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
The Chinese have to understand there's a penalty going to be paid, imposed by us, if they don't rein in an individual that could literally start a world war. And more importantly, perhaps in the short term, strike the United States of America. He's not rational. We're not dealing with even with someone like Joseph Stalin. But the point is that China is the one that can... the only one that can control Kim Jong-un, this crazy fat kid that's running North Korea.
Senator McCain, talking about the, quote, crazy fat kid who seems to have us right where he wants us. Bad haircut and all. Our own bad haircut is headed for Europe. And what will he say to Putin? And what will he do about this, if anything? Michael O'Hanlon, senior fellow at the Brookings Institution, is the guy I want to hear from at a time like this. Is this as serious and as scary as it seems?
Hey, good morning. Wanted to make sure that wasn't my bad haircut you were referring to, but just clarifying.
And listen, in my position, any day with hair is a good hair day.
Well said.
Yes.
So, yeah, it is scary. Although, you know, I think we heard General Brooks, the U.S. commander in Korea, yesterday say that, you know, the only thing stopping us from war is our own self-restraint. And I think that was sort of a well-thought-through, semi-bellicose sounding and yet not really fundamentally dangerous comment. What he's trying to remind North Korea of is that, you know, the allies do prepare for war all the time, and we will destroy them if there is a war. And North Korea can have no illusions. Now, we would suffer enormously, and South Korea especially would suffer enormously if that war happened, as I think most people know intuitively. There's some estimates out that could be anywhere from tens of thousands to even hundreds of thousands of fatalities if there were such a conflict. So it's not something anybody's going to get into lightly. It would make the wars of the Middle East seem relatively modest by comparison, the wars of this century in the Middle East. So I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm glad that General Brooks was pretty emphatic. I think our real options, as Senator McCain was saying in that clip you just played, have to do with putting economic pressure on China and others so they will put economic pressure on North Korea.
What economic pressure can we use against China when they own so much of our debt?
Well, it's going to hurt everybody. So I think if that's what you're getting at, you're right, that we are going to be vulnerable to retaliation by China. But even if they don't retaliate, the kinds of disruptions that could result from, let's say, our sanctioning some of their key banks could just work their way through global supply chains and hurt us that way. So I think we're all in this together, but I think what we're trying to impress on China is, listen, you're not focusing on the severity of the problem. We are talking about a guy with nuclear weapons, a growing arsenal, and the ability to kill a million people. And you can't just look the other way. I don't think China has nefarious intent. I think they just sort of have wishful thinking. They're like the ostrich putting their head in the sand. They can't think of a good option, so they just want to hope the problem, you know, stabilizes. And it's not stabilizing. So I think raising the stakes, even if it would hurt us economically, it would still be far preferable to go down the economic coercion route than to go to war.
Michael, if the heavens open up, there's an alleluia moment between the President Trump and President Putin when they meet ahead of the G20 later on this weekend. They can come to some sort of an alliance, if you will, when it comes to North Korea. Do you think something like that would scare off Kim Jong-un?
Well, Russia does have some leverage here, not a lot. Russia does some trade with North Korea, and there have been reports that maybe they've even picked up a little bit of where China left off. You know, China reduced, I think, its coal imports from North Korea, partly in response to earlier missile tests. And so Russia has a little bit of leverage, but China is the key actor. I think North Korea's trade is 80% with China. And so the Russia angle is more just to make sure that whatever, you know, sanctions China might intensify, that North Korea wouldn't have a safety valve of going to Russia instead. And also, obviously, Putin's diplomatic support at the UN Security Council would be crucial for any new sanctions. So in that sense, the Russia connection is important, but it cannot replace the China angle. That's the one that really we have to get right.
Well, this all comes down to one word, and it's diplomacy. And there's got to be somebody that can talk the talk and do it sternly and back it up. We know what a mistake the red line comment was from President Obama. This president has spoken tough for a long time. Now, how can he back it up? And I guess it leads to this question. Who is selling North Korea the technology they need to ramp up their missile program this way?
Well, unfortunately, they've gotten pretty good at it themselves. But I think that they do get crucial imports, certainly in their nuclear program over the years from Pakistan. And there may be other, you know, various suppliers, sort of shady suppliers in the global underworld. I think they're getting these things from a number of countries and trying to use lax regulation more than too many countries' outright endorsement of their missile and nuclear programs. So this is where I think there is room for a lot of crackdown. You know, you start doing the forensics on who owns which companies or who should know what's going on, and you start applying sanctions on those additional countries and companies, not just on North Korea itself. That's the logical way to go, and that's sort of the way that we were so successful in many ways against Iran. You know, the Iran nuclear deal is very controversial and partisan, as you know, but the way that we got to the nuclear deal, the very possibility of having that deal, was a bipartisan accomplishment that Republicans and Democrats, Bush and Obama, all contributed to, as well as international actors, excuse me, in Europe and elsewhere. So that process we know how to apply, and we can do a much better job with North Korea.
We've spoken to a couple other key experts on this topic who say they are not concerned that Kim Jong-un will take this to the ultimate unless he feels that the end is near, the Hitler bunker mentality at the end. Do you share that belief?
Well, broadly, yes. I mean, I don't want to be a fearmonger, but I think there are a number of ways where this can still go wrong, even without anybody wanting it to wind up in mutually suicidal war, or, you know, certainly suicidal for the North Koreans and devastating for the South Koreans and very painful for us as well. There are ways it can go wrong. Go back to 2010, you'll recall, when the North Koreans, in cold blood, sank the South Korean ship, the Chonan, and killed 46 South Korean sailors. And at that time, the South Koreans did not retaliate militarily. I really admire their restraint because they recognized there was probably no good way to respond that would have avoided big risks of war. But they're not going to take it again, you know. So that kind of an incident, they've pretty much stated if that happens again, they will respond. And so let's say North Korea doesn't believe them, tries that sort of a thing as a way to get more coercive leverage in negotiations. Then the South Koreans do respond, either with our help or on their own. And then who knows what's the next move by Kim Jong-un? So it's that kind of dynamic that I worry about, not an initial intent to go to full war, but a spiral that just gets out of control.
So shutting down their supply chain and keeping the sanctions such as they are seem to be the only steps, at least at this point. I mean, we're not going to remove the THAAD missile defense system, and we're not going to leave South Korea. So, you know, the joint statement from Russia and China really didn't mean anything.
Well, that's true, but I do think there's one more angle to this, which is that if you really want South Korea and China and Russia to stay aboard a toughening strategy, I think you need to have some kind of a roadmap, even a vision, maybe if it's not a practical short-term roadmap, for how North Korea could ultimately work itself out of this bind, and because they're getting themselves into a bind as much as they're threatening anybody else. And what we need to do, I think, is envision a different negotiating strategy. It's not an alternative to sanctions or military deterrence, but it's a supplement and a complement. And what I think we need to be willing to do, myself, is if we can get their nuclear program frozen, and I don't just mean tests, I mean production of nuclear fissile material. That would require a lot of verification. It's going to be hard to do. But if we could do that, then I think we should be willing to, for example, freeze our large-scale exercises. Most American strategists don't agree with me, but I think if we can really probe at this issue of freezing the North Korean nuclear program and figure out a way to do that in its entirety, it's worth considering those kinds of options on an interim basis, even before we'd have a long-term deal on denuclearization.
Last question before I let you go, and again, it's Michael O'Hanlon, Brookings Institute senior fellow. You should Google him and read what he writes, and you'll see him on TV a lot as well, along with being kind enough to join us here. And that is there someone we don't know that is in Kim Jong-un's ear that you guys at Brookings might be familiar with or feel that there is. He just doesn't look like a guy who is Joseph Stalin. He just doesn't look like a guy who's making all the decisions.
Well, I'm afraid he might be. I hope you're right in the sense that I suppose most things would be better than he. But, you know, remember his uncle who he killed?
Yeah.
The uncle seemed to be a guy who was interested in some economic openings to China, who had better relations with China than most of the North Korean regime. That kind of thinking was pragmatic because, as you know, China 30, 40 years ago looked sort of similar to how North Korea does today. And then they finally opened up with economic reform under Deng Xiaoping. They never got out of the communist system, but they reformed from within. And that kind of vision, I think, is the only realistic hope for North Korea. And that uncle of Kim Jong-un was the guy who could have helped them do it. And so what did Kim say? I'd rather have him dead than have him around. So I think he's been trying very hard to establish his authority, even at the point of assassinating relatives. And therefore, I worry that this could be an impetuous, you know, inexperienced, brutal young guy who makes a huge mistake. So I do take the whole problem quite seriously in the end.
And are there self-survivalists in the military? Is there a Valkyrie-type plot that could that's possible there?
We don't know very much about the inner dialogues within North Korea. It's probably the most impervious regime in the world for that. And, you know, if we knew of that kind of a plot, probably Kim would sniff it out first.
Sure.
I think this guy, chances are, you can always hope for a miracle, but it would be a Hail Mary to get that kind of a result. And you could also imagine that kind of an attempt making things worse if there winds up being a civil war and somebody's got the nuclear weapons within North Korea and tries to use them against the other side or threaten to use them against us if we don't somehow intervene. I mean, there are all sorts of crazy, you know, Sunday night movie scenarios you could imagine that could result from that. I would still be happy to take my chances with a coup if it was really a serious possibility, but I'm afraid that I don't know any basis for having that hope.
Well, and I think the scariest thing is what you mentioned before. It's the idea of an accident or the idea of a misinterpretation of something or a missile guidance system goes wrong and suddenly it is headed directly for Japan and those types of things. We're so close to the edge here of a lot of bad things happening. It's a pretty tough day.
Yeah, and that's why I'm in favor of considering this idea of how do you get to a freeze, just to, even though most people don't like the idea because it allows North Korea to temporarily keep its nuclear weapons capability, I'd still rather have them frozen where they are and some kind of an ongoing diplomatic and dialogue process rather than continued production of 6, 8, 10 new nuclear weapons per year and these ongoing tests. So I think some kind of a freeze is a useful interim measure if we can design it right and make it verifiable. I just hope that people will consider that.
Michael O'Hanlon, I hope you're enjoying your summer in the midst of all of this with your family, and thank you for the time.
My pleasure. Thanks. Same to you.
See ya. He's great. I actually feel a little better after talking to him.
Yeah, I do too. I just am wondering if there's any chance of getting those three political prisoners back before this really
I don't know how.
Something. I don't either.
I don't know how. I'm just hopeful that the president says the right things when he goes to the G20.
I hope so too.
It's a bad week to go baby steps, but... that's really what you're looking at. 726, Pat Brady joins us now. He goes to Springfield, so we don't have to. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Morning. How you doing?
I am fine. Thank you. All right. So what do we know? First off, the House apparently was so excited about the veto override, they didn't even show up yesterday on the 4th to finish the deal.
Yeah, I think they will probably do it Thursday, but the Senate voted it, so it'll the override will go in the House on Thursday, and then that'll be it. Over the weekend, Mike Madigan gave everybody a 32% permanent income tax increase.
Yeah, and I misspoke earlier. It's about a $750 increase on a family of four, basically a $60,000 income, $750. It's money you could probably use somewhere else, and it's a permanent tax increase. And you get nothing for that, right, Pat? There's no property tax freeze. There's no term limits. There's nothing.
Nothing. And a couple quick points. He could have done this 2 years ago when the tax rate was at 5%, chose not to, play political games for 2 years. All the pain he inflicted on social service agencies, schools, all the things that we've talked about for 2 years, he could have done 2 years ago, but just for political reasons, didn't do it till now. And so it's all on him. This is tax hike, Mike, and this is what Madigan's all about. It's always about politics, never about good policy.
We're getting
absolutely no reforms.
We're getting 4th of July presents left and right. We get a tax hike from Mike Madigan, Kim Jong-un. Says that's a present for us,
his
nuclear test.
Nuking up his missiles, Madigan and Kim Jong-un together on a vacation would make sense at this point.
They look similar, but it's been terrible. Even McCain over the weekend was in Afghanistan saying that we've got to do something here. So it was a news-filled weekend.
All right, so what did Madigan say to the reporters who were in Springfield?
What did he say?
Yeah.
He went in a long speech about how he doesn't exert influence. He appeals to his members intellectual. that's how he does it intellectually. I know, it's laughable. The thing is, when you watch this, Steve, like we all do, like we are all idiots. And we don't see right through all this. It's just a total political power play.
And did any Democrats speak out?
Yeah, they did. I say it again. I don't criticize the rank and file. I do believe that they see a lot of pain being inflicted, and they didn't really speak out against the speaker. They're for some revenue enhancement, but we got no reforms for it. And the governor, I think, is absolutely correct to veto it. And Stan, we can't do the same thing again and again and again and expect different results.
The Republicans that decided to be the deciding votes downstate, why did they finally go that way?
I think a lot of them were getting so much pressure from the universities and other agencies that were going to have to shut down if they didn't get more revenue. And I think they had to vote for their constituents, and that's why they did it. But again, we would never – there is no reason for us to be in this situation. This all could have been done 2 years ago.
And there's no reason for Mike Madigan not to compromise on the things the governor has asked for. They're logical. They're right for the people of the state of Illinois. I'm not even convinced they hurt him in his own narrow worldview of what matters to Mike. But it's just a matter of he's not giving Rauner anything.
Well, beyond that, beyond giving the governor some kind of victory, he doesn't care about the people of the state
enough to realize how bad,
you know, he doesn't care. He just doesn't care. And this tax hike, it's all on him. And the pain that he inflicted on this state in the last 2 years is just unforgivable.
It appears that people are starting to catch on that don't have to follow this stuff every day, that he is tax hike Mike, that it's all about Mike Madigan. You sense this even going back to last fall's election. Are you sensing more of it now, or is this a news cycle thing that's going to go away?
I mean, the people paying attention?
Well, the people starting to realize that Madigan's a problem.
Yeah, he's got an 18% approval rating, or 18 to 22, depending on the poll. By way of comparison, Rod Blagojevich was at 13% the day after he got arrested. So I think people get it. In fact, Governor Rauner actually polls better in the city of Chicago than Mike Madigan does. But it's all meaningless unless we get out and vote this guy out.
But finally, though, Pat, this can't be rolled back. This is not something that a new governor can come in, Democrat or Republican, and say, you know, we're going to change this. We're going to roll this back.
No, you can't. It'd be new legislation rolling it back. It can be. But the difference is in 11, they sold it as a temporary tax hike to pay past due bills, which they didn't do. They made pension payments. This is a permanent tax hike, 32%.
Permanent in political terms.
Permanent
until it's not.
Exactly. But the other one in 11 was it had an expiration date, which they could have extended, but they didn't extend it when Governor Rauner came in because they wanted to play this political game for 2 years about a tax hike. Yeah. I mean, if you watch this closely, it's really sickening to see what the Speaker of the House has done to this state in the last 2 years, all for political gain.
And outside of trial lawyers and the Service Employees Union, who is not going to be screaming at their reps about this when they go back to talk to them?
There's a lot of screaming, and I talked to a lot of reps over the weekend that were at parades, those that were around, and there's a lot of outrage amongst the voters. But it's meaningless unless we get out and do something in 2018 and make a change, or we're just going to get more of the same.
Before I let you go, Christine Redonio's had enough. She was disappointed in the governor not taking the Cullerton compromise, I assume, but her major headache and the reason she decided to hang it up was she couldn't deal with the Madigan BS anymore. And she decided to step aside. It's unfortunate for the state. You certainly know her well. I don't. But she was always accessible and willing to come on and answer tough questions. And I think the state is less without her in the position she's in, or she was in as leader. Did you get a chance to talk to her at all?
I haven't talked to her since, but a lot before. And I think you're right on just the frustration with Springfield. But she also had a terrible personal tragedy a couple years ago. She lost her daughter, who was just a wonderful young woman. And I think she's just like, I want to spend time with my grandkids and enjoy life. And I agree with everything you said. She's just a fundamentally decent human being, very smart, very committed to what she was doing. And she will be missed. And I just wish her the best and hope she enjoys a long life with her grandkids.
Right. And who steps into her spot?
That'd be Senator Bill Brady. You can never have enough Bradys in this world, can you, Steve?
It's Senator Bill Brady. He has been officially anointed at this point?
Yeah. See, Central Catholic class of 79.
Okay.
All of us Bradys running around many years ago. But Bill did a good job. I think he's a downstater, so he brings that perspective. He's a fiscal conservative, and he knows the state, having run for governor a couple times, and he was our nominee in 2010. So I think he'll do a great job.
Pat, Brady and I will continue to try to save the world today around 1 o'clock with Emil Esposito. We'll report back to you tomorrow when we talk politics in the 7 o'clock hour. Thank you,
Steve. I played so much golf, my left arm is numb, so hopefully I'll be good.
I'll suck it up. The world's got problems. That's Pat Brady from Next Generation Strategies. It's 7:34. The big story next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
And I want to just tell you that our country is doing really, really well. No matter where you look, the economy is blazing. And on every front, we're doing well. And we do have challenges, but we will handle those challenges. Believe me.
Why wouldn't I believe you? Over the weekend, the president tweeted that Kim Jong-un ought to have something better to do at this time to keep conducting missile tests. That was not that long after he retweeted a Reddit link to an old video of Trump when he was beating up on Vince McMahon, and it was done up as a meme, or a GIF, actually, with the CNN logo over the head of Vince McMahon, so it would look like Trump was beating up CNN. Look, I'm not defending Kim Jong-un now or ever, but I think you got to be careful about suggesting what people do with their day if that's what you're going to do with yours. CNN, meanwhile, went out and found the person who did the original GIF, who apologized. Mm-hmm. He had a horrible Reddit link of just terrible things that he said, and he apologized and said he was stupid, something the president could do more often as well. Ryan Nobles joins us now, about to go on vacation. Thanks for taking the time, my friend.
My pleasure, Steve. You know, what's interesting, too, is that the White House is still yet to say that the president got that from Reddit. So they haven't told us where that came from. So even though the person who created it, which we're all pretty sure he's the one who created it, apologized and said it was a bad idea and he never, ever wanted to incite violence against the media, the president himself and the White House still won't talk about the motivation for the president to create it and where he got it from. So maybe he did it himself. Maybe he is, you know, created his own version of it.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. I think your investigative team found the right guy. He is on a plane now, headed for Poland first, and then the G20 summit. What's going to happen in Poland?
Well, he's, you know, in Poland, he's going to have a visit with the leaders there. This is something the Polish government invited him, and so he's, you know, he feels like that's a leader that he has a good relationship with. But you know, all eyes really focused on what's going to happen at the G20 summit. The Polish visit is almost kind of the prelude to what's going to happen in Germany and now the meeting with Vladimir Putin, which is now a formal bilateral meeting with an agenda. And well, the agenda hasn't been set yet, but there will be an agenda and this huge conversation, the first time he's ever met in person with Vladimir Putin.
Has the White House said he will or will not, or have they not responded at all in regards to will he tell Putin, we know you hacked the election, and knock it off?
Well, our great CNN producer at the White House, Kevin Liptak, who's covered multiple administrations, and he's talked to White House officials, and White House officials have told him that we should not expect that topic is brought up.
Good God.
That's not a priority for the president when it comes to this, that they want to focus on the conflicts in Syria and in Ukraine. But, you know, the president is very unpredictable, I think is a pretty safe way to say it. So that doesn't mean it couldn't come up, but as of right now, it doesn't appear to be a high priority for the administration.
All right, so if we go gutless and it's not brought up, isn't it very likely Putin will bring up that he wants his two pieces of property back outside of D.C. that he's been asking for in the media and supposedly asking for behind the scenes, so therefore he could bring it up?
Well, the Kremlin has said very pointedly that they're losing patience, is how they described it, with the Trump administration, because they've not addressed these sanctions that were put in by the Obama administration at the tail end of his term. And that includes the fact that the Russian leaders were kicked out of that compound in Maryland. So I don't think there's any doubt that Putin brings it up. You know, I actually made this point yesterday, you know, just because the Americans may not bring it up, that doesn't mean that Vladimir Putin might not bring it up. It's quite possible that he could pointedly, you know, look at Donald Trump and claim that he had nothing to do with the meddling in the election. And that would put the president in a very difficult position. I think that, you know, the Vladimir Putin, you know, we don't truly know his motivation when it comes to the relationship with Donald Trump. Does he truly want to make the relationship better, which is what Trump has said repeatedly, that he thinks that there's an opportunity there? Or does he want to take advantage of him? I mean, I think both of those things are possible. So this is going to be a really unpredictable meeting between these two leaders, and I think anything is possible.
Yeah, by the way, these agendas that are set are honorary. They're not cast in stone. So, you know, as the leader of the free world, as we used to be, the president could certainly say to Vladimir Putin at any time, whether it's on the agenda or not, don't ever, ever try this stunt again. You know who we are, and you know what we can do. But at this point, it doesn't appear that that's going to happen. Andrea?
Ryan, could we see any, I mean, I guess we could see anything at this point, but do you anticipate any sort of Putin-Trump strange alliance when it comes to North Korea? And do you think that might cause Kim Jong-un to back down a little bit?
Well, I think that North Korea, obviously, in the last 48 hours, has risen to one of the most important issues in this G20 summit. And it's not, obviously, China's role in this is going to be important, but Russia's role is going to be very important as well. Putin and Xi met on Tuesday and had a press conference of their own where Putin specifically said that something needs to be done to address the Korean problem. But here's the issue when you involve Russia in North Korea. Russia never does things just for the benefit of the world at large. They're always looking for some sort of advantage that helps them specifically. And when Putin said that he wants to deal with the Korean problem, he was talking about Kim Jong-un, but he also threw in there that he's concerned about the deployment of U.S. weapons in South Korea. So he's also worried about the U.S. military presence in South Korea as it relates to the geography of that part of Asia, which is not very far from Russia. So, yeah, Putin may want to get involved in disarming North Korea, but there's certainly an argument to be made that the destabilization of the Korean Peninsula is something that benefits Vladimir Putin. And the Russians have certainly not been among the leaders of the world to really say someone's got to go in there and do something about this dictator. You know, in certain ways, they've even enabled his rise. So, you know, I do think that Trump and Putin are going to talk about this, but I think any negotiation with the Russians has to be, you have to hold that in the back of your mind. Exactly what is Putin's end game here? And the same can be said for China. So, Trump in his tweet specifically called out China. He called out Japan and he called out South Korea. All those leaders will be there, including Russia. So you've got everybody in the region that's important at this G20 summit to come up with a plan to deal with Kim Jong-un. The question is, are all their motives pure, and can they build some sort of consensus that will actually do something that doesn't end up in some sort of major war?
And this is why you need an educated, involved, engaged leader of our country at a time like this. So hopefully he's getting prepped on the plane, because there's nothing to believe that he's been prepped leading up to when he got on the plane this morning.
But, you know, Steve, I should also point out that, I mean, you know, the criticism of President Trump is probably valid, but he's not the first American president that's bungled the situation in North Korea.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it has only gotten worse. And so, you know, the Obama administration dealt with it for 8 years, and the situation just got worse. Bush didn't really have much success there. So this is something that's been plaguing American presidents for generations. So it's no easy fix, that's for sure.
Right, and there's no, but unless you take some sort of stand and develop a coalition to take a stand, if you're Kim Jong-un, what reason do you have to not continue, including stopping the supply of whatever Kim Jong-un needs to continue to ramp up his missile program, whether it's from Pakistan or wherever?
Right.
Well, listen, you don't need to worry about it. You're going on vacation. What is Ryan Noble's vacation like? He's like 4 minutes with his kids, and then he's on the phone, right? It's got to be.
It's very similar to that, yeah. Yeah, they usually cooperate, usually.
I'm sure your wife loves that.
Yeah, well, I hope you have a good time, and I hope your phone doesn't make it through customs or wherever you're headed, and thanks, as always, for the time.
Guys, it's always a pleasure. Happy Independence Day, and I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, appreciate it. That's Ryan Nobles. He's just great. He's really great. We'll come back on a couple of things to cover, including what Chris Christie says about putting his big old self on a beach that was closed by him. Chris Christie shut down the state of New Jersey for a couple of days, trying to get their own budget passed. Once a deal was in place, he reopened it, but not before he had his self sitting in a beach chair in front of his beach house with his family. It looked like 7, 8, 9, 10 people. There's a plane or a helicopter flew over and got pictures of all of it. In other words, it's okay if you're Chris Christie. It's not okay if you're a regular New Jersey resident. He told people to get the hell off the beach, and then he went to the beach. This is why people hate politicians. Here's the governor.
I think I've proven over the last 8 years that I don't really care about political optics. I care about right and wrong. And if I have a choice to make, I think I've proven over the last 8 years that I have a choice to make between my family and political optics, that I'm going to pick my family. We don't get a lot of time to spend together as a family anymore, and have them and all many of his close friends and my daughter's close friends to be with us. I simply wasn't going to cancel that because Vinny Prieto couldn't get 41 votes for a budget.
The idea that that's okay, this is why Chris Christie doesn't have a career anymore. He will leave the New Jersey State House with 15% approval. Toe fungus has a higher approval rate.
Check out the overhead pictures, too. They're quite funny.
That's ridiculous. This is a guy who could have beaten Trump, who would have been the nominee. He's a very smart guy. But then Bridgegate happened, which he clearly was involved with. And then beyond Bridgegate, what else happened?
Everything?
On the beach. The beach. So Chris Christie is torpedoed his own career. Ridiculous. One of our staff members on this show had a watered-down firework situation we have to discuss at some point. We'll get into that with Dean in a few minutes. Also still to come, NHRA legend John Force is in town to promote the Hot Rod Nationals at Route 66 in Joliet. And he'll be in. And he'll probably just spend time talking to me going vroom, vroom. Something on the American Girls later. You ever buy those for your daughter? American Girl dolls?
Yeah, I think early on and when they were really hot.
My goddaughter went there for her third birthday.
Our daughters.
You know, they have a hospital there, by the way, for dolls.
Yeah, I've gone there.
And a vet and a place for the dog.
I've gone in there a couple times because it's close. You know, it hurts when I do this. I go, stop coming into the store. And John Williams later to plug his latest event coming up as well, beyond in the 9 o'clock hour, when CLTV joins us in about an hour. News next.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should.
Hey, Tan, I'm going to turn on a button here in the studio, not knowing if Dean is even up yet, because we haven't seen him on TV. I don't even know if he got up after the fireworks last night. Good morning, Dean. Hello, Dean. It appears not. He may still be at Navy Pier.
It's a big fireworks display last night that he hosted. Maybe he's recovering.
Huh. We haven't heard that he's not working today, did we?
I did not hear that. And I've asked him about his days off multiple times.
Hmm. Oh, wait, I got one more. Okay, so, Andrea, grab a couple of entertainment stories here in the next couple of minutes. But, Ms. Sandberg.
Yes.
You had a family fireworks outing.
We did.
And this was at a Northside golf club. A lot of places use the golf courses to shoot off the fireworks because you got a lot of land there.
Mm-hmm.
And a beautiful night. Everything went fine until?
It was Monday, July 3rd, just so you know. And it was one of those kid events where the kids swam in the pool and they got in those giant inflatable hamster balls and floated around on the water and run around.
Sure, sure.
And then there was like a rock climbing wall.
Lots of activities.
Airbrush tattoos.
Lots of fun.
Cotton candy.
By the way, there's a kid in my neighborhood.
Snowco machine.
They hooked up a water. I don't know if their parents were home. They hooked up a water slide to the top of their house. Tell me this is like a boy thing to do. They got the water slide going down from the top of their house. They ran the hose up a ladder into the water slide so they have, you know, a good slick ride. And then had a slip and slide at the bottom that they would hit when they flew off the end of the water slide.
Oh, nice.
That's
awesome.
A good time.
That's like engineering cool. Right there.
Yeah.
Engineering marvel.
And I think they sent down only 2 or 3 cousins just to see if it would work at first before the engineer did it. All right, so everything went fine. What happened?
Everything was great. About 20 minutes into the beautiful fireworks show, we were sitting on the first hole and started getting blasted by the sprinklers. And no one knew, as you can imagine.
Didn't see that coming.
It's shocking. And it hit us from behind. And I thought it was fireworks falling on us. I just wasn't quite sure. People were screaming at the top of their lungs and racing around. Then you realized your hair was soaking wet. So
they were screaming.
Screaming.
Like they were under attack?
Oh, yes. This was.
That seems like an overreaction.
Well, there was 1,200 people there.
Okay.
It was a lot of people.
Was there cursing? Because that would have been my first instinct. I would have cursed.
The person I was with, she grew up going to that club, and then she's been a member since an adult. So she right away, she said, oh, my God, the sprinklers. She knew it was sprinkler. If you spend a lot of time on a golf course, I guess there's a chance a sprinkler could go off. But most
you
people,
know
I think.
It's water, right? I mean, why the panic?
But you're in your hair looks. People come to this event like, I think they got their hair blown out. The dresses were perfect. Leather shoes.
So the panic was, my look is ruined.
Yeah, your
the
look.
The panic was
Burberry blankets
attack.
All over the ground. Okay. I mean, they were, I'm like, that's a $1,500 blanket that's getting wet right there.
It was a Celine Dion song, Burberry blankets all over the ground.
Did anybody get video of this? Oh, my gosh.
I wish, Steve, there were video. And the funny, you know, sprinklers are going off, and they oscillate. So they're kind of like, it's going to come at you, but it's dark, so you're not really sure.
How long before they turn them off?
Well, the first one went off for a while.
Who could tell? Some witnesses say it took forever.
And the fireworks are still going off. So then those sprinklers went down. But then a couple minutes later, the next round of sprinklers a little further over, and the screaming started again. And people sat back down.
I don't know how that happens, right? Because it's a computer program. And you would think, well, we're having a really big event tonight. We don't want the sprinklers to go off. What genius didn't turn them off?
Well, I'm not sure. And their course is closed for renovation. It closed, I don't know, right after Memorial Day or something, because they're renovating for the whole year. So I think maybe they weren't, the people that are usually on top of that weren't thinking about it because it's not under normal circumstances.
Why do I see Bill Murray and a gopher involved?
Oh, yeah.
I will tell you.
I'm not.
By the way, you don't want a wet gopher. That'll smell up the whole room.
I'm not a big firework person, but people's night being ruined because they got soaking wet really made it fun for me.
That's great.
Did they end up shooting the fireworks off?
Oh, yeah. It was 20 minutes into the show, and they kept going. And then I will say, the DJ, smart as he is, he started playing It's Raining Men.
Well, that's a sentence that rarely gets said.
Oh, I
the
love
DJ,
it.
The DJ, smart
oh,
as he
great.
Is.
He was Patrick. He was a hype man. He looked like Mr. T. He was an American Ninja Warrior, actually, now that's what he told us. But Patrick, he's one of those that was like giving commands to the kids to do things. And our Patrick was, he locks in with hype men. They speak his language. So
hype men are the guys on a rap act that fire up the crowd.
Yeah, they're at all the bar mitzvahs and things like that. So Patrick, they're like, go
rap,
get your parents
hip-hop,
to
bar
do
mitzvah.
A...
It'll make
what
sense.
Do you call that dance line where everyone gets in a line and does...
Soul Train dancing.
Conga line?
Yeah, one of those. He's like, he needs parents. You have to participate. I'm like, I'm not participating. I'm not that fun, though.
So it was at least a few minutes before the sprinklers got turned
off. Oh, sprinklers went off probably for 7-8 minutes total.
Did people leave?
I believe so. And then after the fireworks show, there was people coming out, the older gentlemen, like out of the clubhouse without their shirts on, towels around there. It was very dramatic. I don't think anyone got hurt sprinting out of the area.
Why would you take your shirt off?
Yeah, I was at fireworks on Monday night, and it got right around 9 o'clock. The temperature dropped.
It got dropped. It was a little chilly. Yeah.
Yeah. So you get hit by the sprinklers.
Yeah.
It could be uncomfortable.
Yeah. It was,
laugh it off, right?
And my husband, he was smart. Yeah. He got up when it started.
Will this be Pat Boyle from Comcast Sportsman? Yes.
And then he went behind the sprinklers and just waited because I think he thought.
So he abandoned his. What you're saying is he abandoned his family.
Yes, he abandoned us.
Yes, he abandoned his family to be hit by the sprinklers.
Yeah. And the kids thought it was hilarious. They thought it was great. They like being wet and clothes.
Yeah.
I don't usually like being wet, except for the screaming was so amusing.
Plus, they're playing It's Raining Men. How can you beat that?
And it was the most fun thing I've ever been to with kids for a 4th of July.
Was this a money crowd?
A money crowd.
Yeah, like these are successful, well-off North Shore types?
Yes.
Well, they're $1,500 blankets.
Yeah.
The Burberry blankets. Yeah. Burberry blankets. So is there any chance that, like, you know, some regular type just went, forgot to turn the sprinklers off.
Hit the button. Yeah. There's a good chance.
But you're right, Steve Grzanich. Video of a bunch of rich Northsiders getting drenched. That would be priceless.
It's got to be out there.
Did somebody yell, oh, the humanity?
No. You're right. Where's my Burberry? Oh
my, yeah, it's easy for me to laugh. It didn't happen to me.
Yeah, it was very funny.
I was out of my back deck going, ooh, you kids and your fireworks.
Get off my lawn.
You dungarees.
Get your firecrackers off my grass.
Well, I'm sorry that happened to you, but I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah. And you know, actually, the person that hosted us, Greg Bednar, you played with him and Pat, and they're the nicest, most generous people. Yeah. And it was the most amazing night, and the food was amazing, and it was like...
How was it after it got wet? Was the food still good?
We didn't stick around, because we left after the fireworks, so...
8:18. All right, so here's what we'll do, since Dean forgot to tell us he was sleeping in. We'll take a break for traffic. We'll come back, and then you're going to tell us about Kanye.
Yep.
And Jay-Z.
Big feud.
Top Gun, the sequel. Kelly Clarkson getting after somebody who tried to fat shame her.
Mm-hmm. Big time.
And our friend Maria Menounos.
Yes, on the mend.
Big story. You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 8:23, there was a timing problem with the fireworks last night, so apparently Dean is still at Navy Pier tap dancing, waiting for the end of the show, and somewhere in the middle of the night, he just dozed off.
You know how difficult it is when, you know, something goes wrong with the fireworks show, since you hosted it for many years before you got fired from it.
I think it's this is why I think it would be a good idea to invite me back. Now, let's be clear, I won't do it. But to invite me back, then I could have helped you tap dance last night, because I thought you did a great job.
Right. The problem is leaving Navy Pier when it's all over. That's the real problem.
Yes.
Yeah, like a million people all leaving Navy Pier at the same time.
You're still at Navy Pier now, trying to get out?
I'm still at Harry Carey's restaurant there.
He's only made it that far in the hallway, the concourse.
Yeah.
But I thought you did a nice job, including your tap dance.
Well, you got to wait till it starts. You know, you got to tap dance a little bit till it starts.
Would it have killed them to give you 5 extra minutes of boom boom so you wouldn't have to, just be hung out to dry? Come on.
And I thought it was fine. On my end, it was fine.
Have you thought about maybe next year just having a lighter in your pocket that you could hold up? Or maybe one of those metal ones like our parents had? You could close it and open it and close it and open it and pretend it was a weaker part of the show?
I was going to get some sparklers. And do you remember those little tablets that when you light them, they turn into like little ashy snakes?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love those.
I would love
to get some of those.
They're fun. I do like the idea of Dean with a sparkler and a red, white, and blue top hat running around Navy Pier going, woo, woo,
do, 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 do.
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy.
Yeah.
Yes, you are, buddy.
Well, here's what you missed in show business. Andrea, Kanye and Jay-Z.
Yeah, Kanye and Jay-Z, Dean. Big fight.
There's a beef between them, as we say in the rap world, a beef.
That's right. Mr. Kardashian, not happy with the company for a while, says that Jay-Z owes him more than $3 million. Did you like that?
Mr. Kardashian.
Jay-Z owes Kanye $3
million? Not emasculating at all.
Yeah, allegedly. Kanye says he owes him $3 million because...
Which of Kanye's personalities is owed the money?
All of them.
Okay.
And he's not happy because he says Jay-Z's Tidal Wave, the new LP, the new album, whatever you want to call it. What the kids are saying, albums again these days.
Yeah.
Not making the money that he said it would.
Well, you know, Kanye is saying that he hasn't been paid, and the Tidal people, which is Jay-Z's music streaming service, they say that Kanye has not fulfilled his contractual obligations.
To not be nuts. Mm-hmm. That's why he hasn't fulfilled it. Mm-hmm. His contractual obligations is don't be nuts.
Yeah, well, if you're going to get into the legal jargon, that you know, it's hard for some people to understand. Don't be nuts.
There's a Top Gun sequel, Andrea?
Yeah, there's a Top Gun sequel. This is going to be a great one, right, Dean? Well, allegedly. We hope anyway. Tom Cruise, it's been a month since he confirmed, which Dean broke
Tom Cruise
here.
And Val Kilmer trying to get out of chairs?
I guess what, so.
I mean, come on.
It's going to be called Top Gun Maverick, and it'll, when 2019, they're saying, Dean?
That's right. That's
yeah.
2019, he's my age. 2019, he'll be like 58.
You know, see, I heard the working title was Top Gun. Oh, my back.
Right. Who's going to go see this movie? I mean, they got to have like the, whoever the young studs of the day are, right?
Oh, I would absolutely see it.
Wilford Brimley's going to be in it.
Wilford Brimley would be the sex symbol.
Yeah, Willard Scott's going to be in it. And,
Goose coming back from the dead.
Yeah, Betty White's going to be the love interest.
Seems to make sense. Kelly Clarkson was in town with Gwen Stefani. She's a terrible person.
No, Blake Shelton.
Gwen Stefani's boyfriend.
Yeah.
And
Blake Shelton.
Blake Shelton and Kelly Clarkson had a show. I love
and
Kelly
John,
Clarkson.
And Jon Stewart. Jon Stewart was part of that show, too.
Great, great show. I heard her sound checking when she was beforehand. She sounded great.
She's tremendous. Somebody tried to fat shame her on your internets. What happened?
Yeah, somebody posted, you're fat. Well, she put, thank you to every person in service. This is right after her show with Blake Shelton in Chicago at Soldier Field. Thank you to every person in service for protecting all of us, and cheers to every person who fought for us to experience freedom and independence. And somebody immediately wrote back and put, you're fat. And she put dot, 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 and still effing awesome.
Oh, good for her. Yeah, by the way, just so we're clear, internet, she knows she's fat. You know, she doesn't need you to tell her that. And why would you be such a horrific jerk? Oh, that's right, because you're a coward with a computer.
Right, when she's doing a show, for the Warrior Games.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
that kind of goes along with the story about Ed Sheeran, who yesterday decided to get off Twitter because he said that people are too mean on Twitter. And I guess it's been a lot of, you know, comments like what we just heard about Kelly Clarkson of just nasty, mean, awful comments. I don't know what you could say about it. Sure, and hey, your hair's too red. I mean, what do you say about it?
Well, he doesn't
it?
Look like a traditional rock star, right? So he gets a lot of the, I've seen a lot of horrible things about you're ugly, those type of things.
So mean.
Yeah, it just looks like a normal guy who's amazingly talented. Yep. But so he's just decided, I'm done with Twitter. I'm not going to do this anymore.
Good
and Lady Gaga this morning came out supporting him, you know, saying the same thing. You know, why can't people be nice? But I mean, that's the downside of you know, social media and Twitter in particular, where you know you put like any little comment on there and people go crazy with nasty, mean comments, and that's just from the White House.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know the old adage, which is true. Don't write it if you wouldn't say it to their face. And
right.
All of these people are cowards. Have you ever met anyone who has said something, and we get it as well, have you ever met anyone who said something terrible about you online who's come up to you and said, I was the person who said that terrible thing about you? Of course not.
Of course not. Yeah, of course not. Of course not. And often, if you respond back to the person, they back down because they just never thought that you would fight back with them. Some people are, they get inflamed by it. You know, they clearly get off on that they've gotten under your skin a little bit. So 99% of the time, I also just ignore it because it's crazy. I mean, read any comment section on any website, any blog, anywhere. More than half the comments are ignorant, vile,
rude,
unbelievably nasty things that a person would never say to another person's face.
No, and the thing is, if your life is so miserable that makes you feel better to send that, you need help in your life. You need something in your life that makes you happy. Because somebody who's got a decent life going on doesn't lash out like that.
Yeah. Steve, thank goodness we have a positive, uplifting story to end our segment today, and that is that Celine Dion has posed naked for Vogue magazine.
What?
Yeah, she has. She looks great. She looks phenomenal. Have you seen the picture?
I have not.
She's doing that. It's sort of the Jennifer Aniston pose. Remember Jennifer Aniston's pose nude with a tie?
Yes.
All she had on was a tie.
Celine Dion's very pretty.
Yeah, I thought she was getting near that you need a sandwich stage, maybe a little too thin. But she looks great. And she's naked in what?
She's 49 years old, by the way. Not that, you know, it matters, but just as a point of reference. She's sitting in a chair, like, you know, naked. She's naked.
She just forgot her clothes. It happens.
Yeah. She's kind of crunched up a little bit. So, you know, her legs are crossed. And she's kind of, you know, crunched up. So you, and with one sequin gold boot mischievously thrown to the side.
Right. Right, which is the same way I take my nude selfies.
How do you decide to do that?
That's a good question. I don't know. Would that have been pitched to her, or did somebody, you know, or did she say she wanted to? I don't know.
Well, here's the quote that goes with the naked picture of Celine Dion. The clothes follow me. I do not follow the clothes.
Oh. Okay, I don't even know what that means. I don't know what that means. She's talking to her wardrobe? What does that mean? I don't know what that means.
Because she's French-Canadian, it would be more, the clothes follow me.
Oh, there we go. Here it is.
Now it makes more sense.
We do have one other story, and that is Maria Menounos.
Yes.
Friend of the program, friend of yours, Dean. And a friend of ours. And Andrea, she's going to be okay?
She's going to be fine. Yeah, she had this 7-hour surgery last month. I believe it was June 8th or 9th to remove a brain tumor. It's 99.9%. They got it. You know, they can never say 100%, but 99.9%, they got it. She's recovering. The irony is that she is she's dealing with her mother, who's battling stage 4 brain cancer. And yeah. She's, you know, and Dean, you've interviewed her 1,000 times. You have too, Steve.
She's great.
Wonderful, wonderful person. She said she actually laughed at first and said, what are the chances? How surreal and crazy is that?
Well, it got to be a hereditary thing, right? You would think. But we wish her nothing but the best. And did she ever marry that guy she'd been living with for years?
I don't think so. I think they're still boyfriend, girlfriend.
Here's the thing. And let's tell you, that guy might be in love a little bit. Moves in with her and the parents. I mean, Maria Menounos got plenty of money, right? Get your own place. But she wanted to live with mom and dad. And so he agrees to do that. And he spent every minute, she said, by her side when she was going through this.
Yeah.
Slept in the hospital in a room right with her. I mean, the guy sounds like a pretty good dude to me.
The prognosis, by the way, excuse me, the pathology that came back on the brain tumor that was golf ball size is what I heard, that is that it was benign. So that's good news.
It's huge.
Also.
Good.
Yeah.
And prayers for her mom, who's really fighting a fight. Well, listen, have you made it to the front of Navy Pier yet?
No, I am. I'm right by the popcorn place. I can't think. You know, Garrett's. It says Garrett's here right on the window. Yes.
You know, it's fun in a crowd like
that
is if you start yelling moo.
I'm going the wrong direction. That may be the problem.
Dean's parked in the back.
I'm right at the end of the pier.
Oh, no. Will he be back in time for tomorrow? All right. Well, good luck.
All right. I will be back tomorrow. So more than likely, I'll pretty much remember to do this tomorrow.
Well, we hope you're not having another one of your spells. It's 8:34. Back with the big story next at 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
I feel the need for speed.
NHRA Nationals, the Hot Rod Nationals, Route 66 in Joliet. John Force. Oh, if he would only come out of his shell. John Harold Force, guest on the program. Morning, John.
Morning.
How you been?
We're in town. We got beautiful weather.
16-time funny car champion driver. 18-time champion car owner. Haven't you won enough?
Well, maybe I'm just lucky, or maybe I'm good, but I surround myself with good people, good sponsors like Peak joined us and bought my hot rod. So I'm excited about it. We're in Chicago. Great racetrack out in Joliet. Going to be a long weekend, and I'm going to the Cubs game. How could life not get better?
What are you more nervous about, driving a car? I don't know if you know this, Andrea, but John's latest car goes 1 million miles an hour. I don't know if you know that or not.
He hates rush hour traffic, I heard, too.
Yeah, he doesn't like anything less than 1 million miles an hour. Yeah. You weren't nervous about any drive you take or the fact you got to throw out the first pitch today?
No, you know, I've been, you know, my daughter, Courtney, with Advanced Auto, she ran in those Chevrolets 337 miles an hour. She outran her dad. So she's, and Robert Height, same thing, 338. So they got real good hot rods, and so do I. But I'll tell you, that first pitch in drag racing, you get four rounds on race day on Sunday to win or lose. I get to throw one pitch. In San Francisco, I threw it in the dirt. And I don't want to do that here.
No, dude.
Coming here with Chicago, yeah.
You know what happens. You throw it in the dirt. You bounce it, you're going to get booed. You want to throw it as hard as possible.
And I hate that. And they want you to throw. And I ain't exactly. I'm not a young kid anymore, okay? And I love doing this hot rod. And it does the running for me. But I got to throw this pitch. But I've been practicing. I'm going to give it my all.
That's today when the Cubs have you out. I think you should come out in one of your cars. Just come find. Remember the bullpen cars, Dave?
Sure, the golf carts.
You see John coming out of right field at 400 miles an hour? Now, that would be a good time.
Yeah. We're going to, Friday morning, we're over at Old World Industries just out of Chicago, and we'll have cars on display there. And we're really excited about it. They have a big car show. But baseball, I've always been a fan and played ball when I was in school, and of course, football. But that pitch, we all say it doesn't matter, but it does.
You're of course it matters.
People, and you want to do good.
I've done it on both sides of town. I did it for the White Sox. Did it for the Cubs a couple of times. I'm telling you, dude, throw it hard.
I will give them the fastest ball I got, but it won't be pretty. I hope. If I don't throw my back out for race day, I'll be okay. But this weekend, Top Fuel Funny Car Pro Stock at the NHRA drag race, and it's the best there is. I really do love it. Been doing it a lot of years.
10,000 horsepower machines. All right, now you're an owner now. What is one of these cars, all tricked out, what do one of these cars cost?
Well, over $250,000. And, they're ongoing. You can have a bad weekend. We lost a car. I think one of the races in Topeka, Courtney hit the wall in that Chevrolet and totaled it. And I mean, it was gone. And we actually ran the cost. And with computers and everything on board, the engine, the fire that burnt the car to the ground didn't hurt her. She walked away. Really, that was probably the hardest in my career. I've watched three of my daughters have driven. Brittany still drives Top Fuel. And Ashley retired, but she drove a funny car, and now Courtney. That's probably the hardest part of my job is watching them. I mean, I've been fearless. Not really, but you think you are. But all these years, I've never been hurt. I did have a bad crash in Dallas when a car came apart, broke my arms and legs. So, yeah, it does happen. But they're really safe, the NHRA, with the safety and everything that the pro organization does. And we built the Eric Medlin Project in India, and we keep – just like the Schumacher teams, we try to keep up on safety and keeping these cars where they won't hurt these young kids or the old ones, me.
No, yeah, but it's got to be tough. Your daughters are beautiful, by the way. And it's got to be tough as a dad watching your kid. I can't imagine. You watch your kid go into a wall and then the car catches fire. I mean, you're not the owner anymore. You're not John Force. You're the dad.
Yeah, I got to race against them. You got to wear that hat. Then you got to be the boss and push them to the limit and root for them too. But then you're the father. But, you know, they chose us. They grew up around racing. When they were little kids, they were at the racetrack wiping down the bodies, cleaning the tires.
Wow.
You know, they always loved these cars, and they all went into it. And actually decided it was time, you know, at 30, got to have some kids, Dad, and start a family. She married a Chicago boy, Danny Hood, and now he runs Courtney's Advanced Auto Parts Chevrolet. So we've been real fortunate.
Wow.
It is a family affair, and we'll just see where it goes in the future. But we work to keep them safe, give them good race cars, good financing from companies like Monster Energy, and of course, Old World Industries, Peak, Antifreeze Coolant, and their motor oil now that I'm pitching all the time. But, been very lucky. Robert with Auto Club. And life's good for John Force and his kids.
And John Force,
this weekend.
By the way, John Force, one of the greatest ever in working in the plugs. You notice that?
Mm-hmm.
He works
yeah.
in the plugs. He didn't have to.
I overdid it a little.
No. I was impressed because you didn't have to pause and take a deep breath to get them all in. You slid them in right in the paragraph there. Dave Ennett, who once touched 80 on the Kennedy.
I did.
He knows about speed.
Yeah.
Say hi to John.
Hey, John, how hard do you and the other racers have to train? What's your regimen like away from the actual cars?
Now, I'm in the Hyatt right now in Deerfield, and I was heading to the gym, and I got my notes out, and it was time to call you, and then I go into the gym for about an hour and a half today, and then I head for the ball field. You've got to really keep yourself in shape. It's not like NASCAR, IndyCar. When you're out there, you know, for 3 hours, you know, it's 4 or 5 seconds on that strip. It's all about reaction. So you got to keep the mind sharp. You got to keep physically fit for, you know, pedaling the car, reacting is mostly strength. Yeah, when these things drop a cylinder down track, whether they're going 80 miles an hour or 300, it doesn't matter. They're hard to steer. You got to keep them in the groove. So we got to keep ourselves physically in shape. Partied early in the early days of my career, but not anymore. Really, my party's at the racetrack when we win. So, yeah, you got to stay in shape, definitely. Eat right. You know, alcohol, and if you're going to have any, you know, in moderation. And no, I'm doing pretty good.
All right, Jen, I want to know how you cope when you're driving down your street or you get stuck in traffic or you actually have to park like the regular people in the grocery store parking lot.
I'm funny. I saw on the news about road rage the other day. I don't get that. Everything I do on the racetrack is where my energy and my fight comes in.
Dude, it's got to be. I've talked to drivers about this. It's got to be like kinder care. It's got to be like you're out here with all of us amateurs, and you're controlling a car at 300 miles an hour plus, and we can't figure out how to control ours at 50.
Yeah, but it's a matter of you know, you get your driver's license as a young kid when you turn 16, and it's a different world than the racetrack. That's why NHRA, Wally Parks, the founder, created it. NHRA was to get the kids off the street, to get them to the racetrack,
right,
and where they could be safe. But no, when I get in the parking lot, if somebody cuts me off and pulls in, I just smile. And sometimes, you know, I was back in my boat into the garage the other day, and some guy in the street, he was having road rage. I thought he wanted to fight. And, boy, he was madder than heck. And I said, I'm sorry. And I was doing nothing wrong. And then he said, oh, my God, it's Sean Forrest. And all of a sudden, different personality. So people have their reasons why they get angered. And all you do is try to get along. And but, no, I go in a parking lot or out on the highway. I drive just like you.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that happens all the time. But 99% of the time, I think he does. I think John sees a little open pavement. He opens it up. One more, Dave, before we run out of time.
Well, just what are you most looking forward to as far as being in Chicago and the event this weekend?
Well, my grandkids are up here. They spent 4th of July with the Hood family, my wife Ashley's father-in-law and mother-in-law. So really love Jacob and Noah. Get to see them, get to hang out. They're going to go to the ball game today, so they'll get to see Grandpa throw it in the dirt or not.
Not in the dirt!
I'm going to put it right down the pike, I promise. And but then we go racing. Qualifying starts on Friday. We got shows in town for the next couple days doing media, big press conference, downtown Chicago. And then we hit the racetrack Friday. We've got like 300 customers coming in from Peak and a lot of the sponsors. So excited about it, but drag racing is what I do. I've been doing it, you know, 4 decades, and I want to put some big numbers. National records can be set here. I'm trying to win. What is the number? My 149th win this year.
How about that?
Weekend. It's a record. And but every time you think about those records, you don't get them. So put that out of my mind. Go out there, run my hot rod, be with my team, try to beat the competition, men and women. You get a mix. The girls are tough out there now, and we'll see where it goes.
I'll let you go on this, but if there's no mandatory retirement age, when's it going to be enough? Because as you said, you're not a kid anymore. You don't care what I say about your age. You're 68 years old. 68 years old, going 300 miles an hour.
Yeah, it. But. You know, probably the best thing that happened to me was the crash in Dallas. It put me in the hospital for 6-7 weeks. I was in rehab for months. I broke my arm, my knee, my wrist, my leg. I was a mess. They said I was done. You're not going to ever race again. You'd be lucky if you walk. And that was really it changed my lifestyle. And I don't say that I don't have a drink at dinner, but But it changed me. And I was a party animal. I was winning everything. And that was a wake-up. The good Lord said, it's time to get right. And that training has kept me in shape. Still got a little belly on me, a little one, maybe a big one. Got to get rid of that. But I keep my weight down, and I work out hard, and it changed my life. I think it made me a better person and a better driver. So 68, I'm not looking at retiring. I signed a lifetime contract with Peak. They said I can drive as long as I want, as long as I'm competitive.
So how about that?
Races, and, you know, never. I don't think Dale Earnhardt ever had an opportunity like that.
No doubt about it.
I'm going to give it my best. I love doing radio with you guys. Love coming to Chicago, a great town. And I hope you all had a great 4th of July. I did.
All right, man. Thanks, all the best. Glad to know you're safe. My best to your family. Have a great weekend. Go impress those grandkids today. Not in the dirt. Throw it hard.
I'm going to throw them a hardball. God bless y'all. Thank you.
There you go, John Forrest.
What a great guy.
Yeah.
Really good. Hey, my grandpa's really cool. What's your grandpa do? He drives 300 miles an hour.
Can you imagine having that talk with either of your daughters? I want to race cars. Your next daughter, I want to race cars. And then your next daughter.
It's a family business. But, man, you see your daughter go into a wall and the car catches fire?
Oh, my God.
Good Lord.
Can't imagine. By the way, that road rage show he mentioned, the 2020, I think, on Friday night.
Yeah.
Boy, he'll make you think twice about ever looking at another driver.
Yeah, and it's not a male thing. It's a rage thing.
Oh, yeah. There were a lot of women involved
as well. Yeah.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. She was an
American girl. Didn't know Tom Petty wrote this about the Dolls, did you? True story. Sandberg, how was the Tom Petty concert?
It was good. Chris Stapleton was amazing.
He's tremendous.
Yes.
Do you know Chris Stapleton?
I do, but I haven't seen him in concert, and I heard the
Chris
same thing.
Chris Stapleton
he was awesome.
Looks like the guy that would come by and go, well, your roof needs to be redone.
Yeah.
And he's got this unbelievable voice. And he's a great writer.
And he and his wife, they perform together, and they are, I wish I looked as in love as they look.
Really?
When they're singing to each
like
other.
Like goofy
on
for
stage.
Each other?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Did he play long? Like,
yeah,
was
did it
a
rain?
Long set?
It did rain.
Did he get a longer set because
long
it's Chris
set?
Stapleton?
He did play, I want to say.
Because he's a headliner. He doesn't need to
hour.
Open for Tom
yeah.
Petty.
Yeah, it seemed like about an hour. I think Tom Petty, Chris Stapleton's opening half the shows, and
Petty's opening.
The Eagle, the Eagles guy.
John Walsh? Henley?
Joe Walsh is opening the other.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, so.
Joe's an old buddy.
Yeah.
You had a good time at the Tom Petty show. Tom Petty's song "American Girl" is because of the Dolls. We've covered this. But in a world where you go, I don't know what I can do for a job. There's jobs everywhere. I didn't know, but of course it makes sense. Someone has to write the American Girl books.
Yes, somebody does.
Dave, did you ever buy these for your daughter?
Not the American Girl books. No,
the American Girl books. The doll, if I remember right, the doll comes with a book.
Well, if you buy one of the theme dolls, like if you buy Mary and Mary's story is
Prairie Mary,
she traipses around California. She comes with a book or whatever. But if you buy the doll that like is custom to look like your kid or whatever,
yeah, there's no book.
They don't write like a custom book, I don't think.
But you know what they need is an encyclopedia for all of this.
Yeah, they do.
Understanding,
absolutely.
And joining us now on the phone are two women who have written the American Girl Encyclopedia. This is all the information that I know. About American Girls, and in fact, I used to buy them for my daughter. So now I'm going to get out of the way. Well, you guys who actually have more doll experience, have a talk. And you actually know one of these women.
I do. I know Carrie Anton.
Carrie Anton, family friend.
She's my sister's best friend growing up. She's been on every family vacation. My sister tortured her on a regular basis.
But just to be clear, that's not why she was booked.
No, that's not why she was booked.
Yeah.
We can get some great dish out of Carrie, I think.
And Erin Feligant is with us as well. And
she did not vacation with me growing up, but I'm sure she's also fabulous.
Yeah, I don't know. Erin, how are you? Erin, how are you on vacation? Are you fun?
I'm pretty fun. I want to come.
All right.
Well, one of the requirements is you have to water ski behind a pontoon boat, because that's how we did it in the Sandberg household.
That's not easy. It takes a little effort. You sit in a squat position for
longer than normal
time. Yeah.
can you get up behind a pontoon boat?
You can when your grandpa has the biggest motor you can put on it, but it makes the deck bow as you're skiing. So, but you don't get pulled out of the water quickly, so it takes you have to be strong and hold that squat for a really long time.
By the way, we were on the Roth family standby, ladies. We're on the Roth family pontoon boat, and they got pulled over by the boat police.
Oh, too many people.
Well, we had 14 people on the boat. It was a 14 max, ooh, but the boat guy counted wrong.
Oh.
Boat police guy. I had never been pulled over on the water before.
Neither have I. That's pretty funny.
So, all right, back to the Fallagant and Carrie, a portion of our program.
Yeah.
What are they doing, an encyclopedia?
Yeah, they wrote an encyclopedia for American Girl.
It basically covers a lot of the dolls who are characters, and then kind of as Mary mentioned, the like some of the dolls that are just more like to look like your daughter or just like you, I think is what they were called at the time, and so a lot of their accessories, things like that.
And do you have a letter that corresponds throughout the alphabet, something American Girlish for each of the letters?
Oh, no. So maybe our next book, that'll have to happen.
I'm being mocked because I don't know anything about
that. No, you're not at all. We're laughing with you.
And you're pointing a little bit.
What about the pets, the dogs? I know the animals and the accessories, all that. Is that included too?
Yeah. Okay. This is one of the, you know, what's cool about this encyclopedia is it's one of the only places where you can see all of the dolls in one spot. So a lot of the dolls were retired over the years, but in this encyclopedia, there's 39 characters featured. So, and the pets as well. It's like, you know, the pets are usually in a little corner of the catalog or a little corner of the website. But when you look in this book, it's like looking at some of those shots of, you know, the zoom angle lens of a pet looking up at you. You know, when you flip through this book, you're seeing the pets up close and personal, staring at you. It's a really intimate kind of photography. I think it's each page is a different character, each page is a different pet. So it's the one place where every girl gets her due and every pet gets his due, and you can learn more about the characters.
Do you have any explanation on why there's no wine list at the restaurant?
No. I do not. We really, really petitioned for one, but, you know, sometimes we lose out.
Mary Vandeveld, you must have bought these American Girl dolls at some point.
Oh, I have a lot of stuff at home, believe me. What's the latest? Who is going to be the latest doll introduced?
So in the book, you see V Yang is the most recent, so she came out this year. She's a videographer. She's the girl who's always filming. And if you go on the American Girls website, they do tell you who the new upcoming character is, and that's Nenea Mitchell. So this fall, you'll see Nenea come out. So she's Pearl Harbor girl. She's a Hawaiian girl growing up on the island during, during the start of World War II. So, yeah, so she's coming in September. So lots of new characters this year. Gabriella McBride was the Girl of the Year in January, and then we met Penny Grant, who's a songwriter, sort of a Taylor Swift. And then Z Yang. So big lineup this year.
All right. So the obvious question for you, Carrie, is the inspiration for some of these characters has to come from, I suppose, girls that you've known throughout your life. And I know you don't design the dolls specifically, but do you have any input where you could take all the things that annoyed you about Sandberg's sister and put them into one of the dolls?
So there was a gymnastics doll. So we've had characters who've done gymnastics. And, you know, so Katie was brutal about gymnastics. I mean, pretty much any time I was at her house, I had to read gymnastics magazines. I had to watch gymnastics competitions on TV.
And then perform gymnastics. And let's just say Carrie's not a gymnast. So
No, I'm like the biggest klutz ever. So Katie's like, no, it'll be fine. I'll spot you. And then that would proceed to me being dropped on my head a number of times. So Katie's now a physical therapist, and so I just feel like any work going forward I get for free because I paid my dues, and it's probably been caused by her. So you know, I tried to work that into the dolls, but I don't get as much of a say in the life of the characters as I'd like. But I could have named that doll Katie.
Erin, do you have anyone from your childhood that traumatized you in the same way that is represented by any of these dolls?
Oh,
I do it all the time. I sneak in names all the time. So in fiction, yeah, I don't want to name names, but Jamie was my arch nemesis in grade school. So there's a whole series, Interstar University. It's no longer in print, but Jamie, oh, she was in every book. She was a brat, and I got revenge. Let's put it that way.
when we were little, I would listen to my sister on the phone with Carrie and ask her to come over, and Carrie would say, but I don't want to read gymnastic magazines. And Katie said, we're not going to read gymnastic magazines. And then she would get her over and they'd be in the room and she would pull out the pile
magazines.
Of Aww. Old gymnastic magazines, like stories you already knew what was happening. So Steve has an 18-month-old granddaughter,
yep,
Abigail
exactly
Grace.
Right. My first grandchild, she's perfect. She's
and
better than the other grandkids.
I cannot wait until he goes to American Girl. It's one thing when you go with your own child, I think, and you have set limits. We're only buying one doll.
Oh, we'll shut it down.
Getting one off it.
Oh, we'll
you and Abigail
down
there, and then going for the tea. Right. He's gonna, like buy out anything she wants.
Yep.
Matching outfit.
Yep. Yep.
That's my favorite.
And at this point, she'll just point.
Yep.
Just point.
Point.
And I'll pick up the wrong thing, and she'll go, "No pops."
No pops. Anyway, they're gonna be at a book signing.
Yeah. Where's the book signing?
Oh, okay. So tomorrow night,
Anders Books. Yep. It is at. It's gonna be on Thursday at Anderson's Bookshop in LaGrange.
Okay.
And we're going to be doing both a book signing, but we're also doing an event. So we're going to do some fun trivia about American Girl, whether you read the book or not, doesn't matter. But we're going to do a craft as well for girls, boys, doesn't matter, brothers and sisters can come together. So it'll be fun. We'll lead them in a craft, and then we'll do some trivia questions, and then we'll do a signing at the end.
Very nice.
Yeah, and a book giveaway as well, so lots of freebies.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool. It's the American Girls Encyclopedia. Don't ask him if there's something for every letter. They'll laugh at you and they'll point. and by the way, there's something else you don't do. Don't go up to him and go, "Oh, the money I've spent at the American Girl store." They know. They've heard it every day of their professional lives. So go out and get the encyclopedia and make it part of your collection. And nice to talk to both of you. For all things American Girl, where do you send them? To the website?
Sure. Yeah, the
AmericanGirl.com.
AmericanGirl.com. All right, hold on. Katie's on the phone with the new gymnastics magazine. She wants to read it. So stand by for that. It's 9:23 back after this on 720 WGN. All right, just ahead of the big story coming up here in a couple minutes. You do that first.
Well, first of all, the White Sox are looking to score a W against the A's on the West Coast. Watch the action today at 2:30 on WGN TV Sports.
A couple of leftovers from yesterday. This is one of my favorite 4th of July fun facts. Of course, it's not fun for the people involved. Do you know 3 of the first 5 American presidents died on the 4th of July?
I did know that because my mom was so impressed with that article, she showed it to me yesterday.
James Monroe,
yep.
Thomas Jefferson, John Adams.
Mm-hmm.
Jefferson and Adams were friends, rivals, enemies, depending on what phase of their life they were in. On the 50th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, John Adams and Thomas Jefferson both died on the 4th of July.
Same
you're
day.
You're into numbers.
Yeah.
The 50th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence was the 4th of July.
Yeah.
And they both died that day.
Mm-hmm.
And what John Adams' last words were something like, "I wonder what Jefferson will say now," or something. I don't know. Something
yeah.
Like that. So that's kind of amazing. As I said, fun fact, unless you're one of the 3 that died.
Chris Kennedy is actually born on the 4th of July as well.
Is that right?
A Democratic gubernatorial candidate.
I did not know that.
Yes.
But this one I don't understand. Illinois was ranked the second least patriotic state in the nation.
Probably because we have no budget.
Well, we got a lot of problems, but I didn't think we were not patriotic. No, I do have to say, driving around yesterday, I didn't see a lot of flags. My flag goes up Memorial Day, stays up through the 4th of July, goes up again at various times after that.
My mom puts hers up. I have my little flag on my balcony,
which
you shame me into putting up 2 now.
Yeah. I think you need more.
You said that the last time I put 1 up.
I think you need more flags. But the I don't know about your neighborhood, but I did not see a lot of flags. Because I think, especially based on the funk this country's in, the more flags, the better. The days after 9/11, where every neighborhood street had a flag, right? Everybody had flags up and down the street, and every house was adorned with a flag. It matters. It means something. It makes you feel good about the country.
Did you see the state that's worse than us?
No. Who finished last?
New Jersey.
Oh, there you go.
The bottom 3 were Massachusetts, Illinois, New Jersey.
Yeah, there you go. This is ranked on military engagement and civic engagement. The state was 50th in civic engagement. In the military section, it only ranked low, 45th. That's the number of veterans per capita. For civic engagement, Illinois ranked last. They looked at the number of adults who voted, volunteered, joined the Peace Corps, participated in jury duty, among other things. And in 2016, 63% of Illinois residents eligible to vote cast a ballot. 63%.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Who let the dogs out?
.943, Steve Dale's nice enough to bring in a pooch. And then we try to get him adopted. Our record's pretty good. Now, we're going to get this dog on TV, or this dog's on TV?
I hope so.
You got to get this dog on camera on CLTV so you can get a look.
Where should we move the dog somewhere else? Or move me somewhere else?
I'm trying to think of a good angle. What's a good angle? Back by you, Dave? Yeah, let's bring her back there. Yeah, Dave, roll around on the floor with her. That's good TV.
See it.
Yes.
Dave's already done that, which means the dog will be adopted out. And what a dog this is. This is a beagle named Aggie.
Aggie the beagle. Can
yes.
you pick Aggie up, or is that not supposed to happen?
You can pick Aggie up.
Is that okay, yeah. Dave? Dave, pick up Aggie.
Aggie's a few pounds overweight. Aggie likes to eat
clearly. Hey, who isn't?
Yeah. Right? You go.
Oh,
there we go.
Is Aggie recovering from the 4th of July fireworks?
Dave is holding Aggie now. Yeah, we're going to talk about fireworks. If we can get a shot at Dave, he's holding Aggie now. And
what a sight this is. And now Andrea's in there.
And let's describe Aggie.
Now, no offense, Dave, but Andrea getting in the shot,
there you
much
go.
Better.
No, there you go.
Much better.
Andrea now making out with Aggie. All right, so tell us about Aggie.
To do that better than myself, it is Anna Johnson from Chicago Canine Rescue and Crisp, which we will explain for the first time on the show.
And friend of the show. You've been in here a couple times.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I love
nice
coming
to
see you guys. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so tell us about Aggie.
So Aggie is a two-year-old female beagle.
Okay.
She is obviously very friendly and lovey.
Right.
Like
a great
many
shot
beagles.
Of her butt right now.
Yeah, you can see her little her little chubby butt. Yeah. She is...
Now we see the back of Dave's head.
There we go. She's a typical beagle. She loves to eat and could stand to lose a few pounds. She's a little bit of a chunk. She loves to sing like beagles
great,
do.
Yeah,
right there.
Shot.
Look
at
like
look at
the
face on Aggie.
She's a beautiful, beautiful girl. She gets along with other dogs.
She's only 2 years old?
She's about two. It's an estimate, but she's about two.
Okay yeah. with kids?
As far as we know, yes. She's been with us just a short time. We haven't had an opportunity to introduce her to any ourselves, but we're told, yes, she is.
She likes to put her tongue in Dave's ear.
Yeah, she's doing that right now. All
that
right.
should be on her form
she's
as to what she likes to do.
Kisser. What woman doesn't, right?
Yeah.
That's another day at work for Dave.
She's a...
Dave, you could file an HR violation against Aggie just based on what I just saw. and the process for people who are interested in Aggie?
So anyone who's interested in adopting Aggie should go to chicagocaninerescue.org and submit an adoption application.
All right, and our new friend here, I don't think is going to let Aggie go. What is your name again?
Carolina.
Carolina.
That's my colleague, Carolina.
Carolina and Aggie seem very close.
They do. Yeah. You know, but I think that spending 5 minutes with Aggie, Aggie will become very close to you. It'll happen that fast. I mean,
yeah.
Aggie is... So if you right now at this moment... Look up beagle in the dictionary.
You'll see a picture of Aggie.
Yeah, yeah, and get a description.
Exactly.
That is pretty much Aggie, including barking at people when they go by.
The bark
singing.
Is the classic beagle bark.
It's
yeah.
a classic. It's more like a yodel, really.
Right.
Yeah, beautiful.
Right, right.
We
beautiful
heard that
voice.
Outside. Yeah.
yeah, she's got a gorgeous voice.
Everyone in Chicago heard it.
Yep.
Perhaps, yes.
She likes to point things out.
You said beagle. Is there? It looks like there might be something else in there, too. The markings are beautiful.
Yeah, it's hard to say, you know.
I think could be a purebred beagle.
Could Seriously? Be.
Yeah, okay. yeah, which is very cool. And that also points
Aggie,
out.
Did your mom tramp around a little bit?
I don't think so. So Anna can verify this. I mean, we think of animal shelters. We think that they only get pit bull type dogs. They get them.
Yeah.
But the purebred dogs as well.
Yeah, purebred dogs of all kinds. Just off the air, we were talking about how we've had like 3 English bulldogs come through CCR this year. We have poodles come through.
Cocker spaniels, many.
Yeah,
so you name it.
Pretty much every breed, eventually you'll be able to find them in a rescue or shelter.
You know, and one thing that I've been talking about for a very long time.
Yes, Aggie will not get off Dave's lap.
Hey, Aggie loves it. I know.
She's comfortable.
She's nuzzling his chin now.
You are such a cute couple.
I think, Steve, this dog may be adopted by 10 a.m.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope you're right, and I believe you could be. I mean,
now, Aggie, we don't know if Dave is house trained, so before you make your final decision.
Aggie is, however.
We believe she is, yeah. So, she's very well trained.
Oh, I think Dave, okay.
Oh, yeah. Dave I'm not so sure about. Yeah. Aggie, yes.
All right, before we found out about Crisp, you brought up the fireworks.
Yeah, I'm sure the fireworks are driving the dogs crazy.
You know, this year seemed to be worse. I don't know why. I don't understand it, because fireworks are supposed to be expensive. So people spent... I mean, we live...
I agree with you. I've never heard as much as I heard this year.
We live across the street from Lincoln Park, and it was like an organized display. Yeah. It was beautiful, but it went on for hours, like 3 hours. Mm-hmm. People spent a lot of money, but the concern is... I'm sure you will read a news story sometime today about a little kid that lost a limb or something.
Had a couple.
Did you already?
Had a kid blow his hand off.
Yeah, I mean it's. I don't understand. Yeah. I really don't. And of course, what disturbs me. And I was getting these texts last night from you know, people have a lot of ways to communicate with you now. So I just go on Facebook, and all of these people, often Chicagoans, but not necessarily. I don't know what to do about it. It's worse this year than any other year.
The thunder shirt thing, does that work?
It can, yes. So it depends on the level of fear your dog has, you know, but to deal with it as the fireworks are going off for the first time is very difficult. You can counter condition and desensitize dogs to fireworks. So the time would be right now to start, not literally now, give it a few weeks, to start then for next year.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a different version of a thunder and lightning situation.
Very different, because thunder and lightning, thunderstorms, hard to desensitize dogs too. Because
really? Even it's not just sound?
Oh, no. They can tell. Now, you would think.
This is education for me. I didn't
know. Yeah. You would think there is no one better than Tom Skilling.
Yeah.
Even Tom Skilling would admit many dogs are better. They can tell by barometric changes. They can tell by the clouds coming over.
So they have the extra stress of if something bad is happening outside.
Yeah, they could tell, you know, so you could desensitize them to the sound of thunder, but what about the sight of lightning? How do you do that?
Okay.
And also things we probably don't even understand.
What if it started raining cats? Would that be a problem?
That would be a bigger problem, yes. Yes. Yeah.
Tom didn't have that in the forecast. So if it's not a thunder shirt, it's work with a behavior type?
Well, a couple things. First of all, a thunder shirt, an anxiety wrap. I mean, there are several products out there. They can be great for many, many dogs. That's excellent. However, for many dogs, their level of fear is so extreme that they actually, I think, feel they're going to die. And they need to escape. They think in their heads, I need to get out of here. And a loud, right now, if we were to hear loud, sudden, unexplained noises, we would feel the same way.
Sure.
That's what you do, you know. So what do you do for those dogs? And for these dogs, the best thing to do in advance is anti-anxiety medication. And not a Benadryl that'll make them sleepy.
Scotch on a rock.
So that would be good.
Doggy Prozac?
Yeah. That's better.
Actual
Prozac is right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it changes the brain chemistry just a bit, and that just a bit makes a big difference.
But there's a prescription for dogs for this?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. There's a product.
Operation, are you running?
What? What was that? I didn't hear him, and maybe that's good.
So is this fairly new? This anti-anxiety stuff for dogs?
No. It's, I mean, I don't know if you're, yeah, it's actually exactly the same medication. It's
fluoxetine.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's the same thing people take.
Yeah.
And we've had dogs prescribed Valium for extreme fears like this.
And can you give the dog that kind of medication for flying too? I mean, if you're transporting the dog?
Yes.
Do they lay on the couch and talk about their dysfunctional families then?
It's all about the mother, I know. And what a bitch.
But I think 6 seconds he's working blue.
Right.
It's unbelievable. All right. I want to find out what Crisp is.
Stick around.
It's the big tease.
We want to tell you.
It's the big tease. We're back with more with Steve Dale in a second and the big star, Aggie, on 720 WGN.
much is that doggy in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is that doggy in the window? I do hope that dog is for sale.
Texter's jumping all over this. New York Times had a great article about dogs and their reactions to fireworks yesterday.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
A woman from Naperville quoted in it. The Thunder shirt worked great on my pit bull, but she's still being a baby now and doesn't want to go outside. Do you see dogs for a couple of days or jittery after the 4th?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Yep.
Does the pheromone plug-in device work?
Yes. So, again, great question. Depends on your level of fear. But what this is a knockoff of a naturally occurring pheromone in dogs. There's a similar product for cats. It's a diffuser you plug into the wall. The dog one is called Adaptil. For cats, it's called Feel-Away. And it's not only thunderstorms, but any anxiety the dog can have. There's also a spray. So if you have dogs that are fearful of car rides, just mildly fearful, this stuff is great. You just spray it on the back of the car, and it helps the dog.
On the back of the car?
Well, not on the, literally, I mean, the back seat of the car.
Yeah, they don't go
on it. Inside the car.
There's a dog trying to get out of the car.
No. That would, Crisp! We want to talk about Crisp.
Yes, Crisp, before we run out of time.
Yes.
Okay, so Crisp. CRISP stands for Chicagoland Rescue Intervention and Support Program.
Say it again.
Chicagoland Rescue Intervention and Support Program.
Got it. Okay.
So what CRISP is a coalition of 8 local rescue groups, and it's one tail at a time, Alive Rescue, my group, Chicago Canine Rescue, MCP, Lulu's Locker, Fetching Tails Foundation, Players for Pits, and the Live Like Roo Foundation.
And normally you guys are vicious competitors.
Normally, yeah.
Yes, but in this case, you're getting together for the good of the critters.
We are. We love each other, though, really. So basically what we do is every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday on a rotating basis, we take turns with representatives from each of our organizations. We set up shop outside Chicago Animal Care and Control on the south side, okay, which is our municipal open access, open intake animal shelter. And we talk to people. We talk to people who are coming in to surrender or give up their dogs, and we try to help them. We find that a lot of times people don't really want to give up their dog, but maybe they need medical care that they can't afford.
Yeah, circumstances.
You know, circumstances.
Life happens.
Yeah. Maybe they have a landlord that, you know, wants to change the rules or isn't going to allow
maybe
dogs.
Maybe Bill Leff moved in next door.
Maybe. You never know.
That would be bad.
Maybe they have just a behavioral issue and need some training support, and we provide free services to people who are in need so that they can keep their animals.
Oh, it's huge. It saves lives. For one thing, if they're not going into animal care and control, that's space for animal care and control for other animals.
Right.
Yep.
Secondly, getting them to foster homes is always better. Not that animal care and control is bad, but foster homes are wonderful.
Right.
But in addition to that, most people who give up their pets really don't want to give up their pets. Either their landlord just changed, and now that landlord...
And they need all the help they can get. So
yes,
you guys are counselors.
Right.
Yeah, counselors.
Resources. Right. Resources. And I have been preaching that for years. I've been calling it a safety net. And CRISP provides that. I cannot tell you how wonderful this organization is.
You should feel good about that.
We love doing it. It's been a really amazing program. Since last May, we've diverted from entering the shelter system over 400 dogs, which is huge. When you think about how many they house there. Yeah.
And so the bottom line here is you didn't get into the dog care business to get wealthy.
We do accept donations.
Yeah,
we have a website.
You have a dinner coming up too, right?
We do. So next month, to help support the program and keep it rolling, keep providing resources for people who need us, July 23rd at the One Tail at a Time Adoption Center, which is on Wood Street, we are hosting a family-style dinner. It will be a lot of fun, and you can find all the details on our website at www.crispchicago.com.
Nice to see you both.
Yeah, thank you,
Steve,
for having me.
Steve, we're on the radio again.
6:30 Sunday morning, and we're talking one of Bill Leff's favorite topics for pets, elephants.
Oh,
we really are. There's a
That's
law.
The last pet Bill had was an elephant.
Well, Gibbon, yeah. I thought. Peanut the Gibbon.
Listen, what happened between Bill and the Peanut is none of our business. There's a text question, by the way, for you, Steve Dale, that I'll leave for off the air.
Oh, really? Does it have to do with Peanut?
It's none of my business. And okay. Thank you again for your help. But website for you guys?
ChicagoCanineRescue.org or CrispChicago.com.
And let's get Aggie adopted.
Yes, Aggie needs a home.
Yes, let's get that done.